If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
That feels good. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. No. Don't do that. Oh, yes.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Can anyone smell that?
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, ah, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
He's funny, you know. Not funny, ha-ha. Funny, quick. He likes to go with men instead of women.
Of course not. What an idiotic question. And extremely insulting to me and to my husband. Of course not. And it's silly.
This is Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
That's a good point. Oh, wait. No. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's also a, what was I just going to say? It just went away.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There's one, babe.
Good. Roll another one. Just like the other. This one seems to be about to quit.
The best tonic is
right. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Are there other black nerds, or is it just you and Urkel?
Roll.
Did you smoke?
Just like the other one.
You know, I got some weed at work today. You always try it out.
Seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
We're gonna smoke some pot tonight.
But don't bogart that joint.
Smoke weed.
Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
And now,
marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high when I smoke my bong all day long. Yeah, yeah, baby.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train, Soul Train. Da 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 da.
Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kev?
No way. No way.
How's it going?
Good. So what do you want me to call you for, guys?
Well, first of all, we just want to catch up and make sure you're okay and find out what you've been up to. We haven't talked to you in so long.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm trying to get a job at In-N-Out. They never call me.
Well, they probably have a lot of people applying for to work there because it's a good place, Dewan. You just got to hang in there, all right, buddy?
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. You're still working at the theater. You're still at the theater, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And how do you like that? Have you seen any great movies lately?
Yep, I saw Saw 4
yesterday. Saw 4?
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought that a main character died.
He did. He did. These are flashbacks. He did die at the end of last season.
I thought he died.
Last movie. No, he did die.
But they have his son was workers.
Okay, but what Kevin is saying is that, yeah, the Jigsaw did die in Saw 3, but in Saw 4 they use flashbacks. They tell stories that happened before the present time that Saw 4 is set in. You understand?
Yeah, I think that's the last part.
Well, no, they're making a Saw 5 already.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. It messes with your head, doesn't it?
Well, Dewan, one of the things we wanted to ask you about, and I'm so glad you called, is we know that you're a big fan of Dog the Bounty Hunter. Do we have that right?
Yes, and Drew Barrymore.
Right, of course. Yeah, right. Don't forget her.
Now, if Drew Barrymore would commit some sort of heinous crime and go on the run, how cool would it be for Dog the Bounty Hunter to then be hired to go after her?
Cool. You saw The Bionic Woman?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite shows.
Oh, you like that too. Okay.
Yep.
Good show. So what do you
have the actress Michelle Ryan been on your show?
She has.
Yeah,
we have spoken with her, yes.
Oh, I forgot to call in and say hello to her.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, Dewan, what do you think about the trouble that Dog the Bounty Hunter is in now?
He was in trouble, like, in the past, like, a year he got arrested.
Right.
Right, that was in Mexico, but this is a different thing.
His show has been suspended by A&E. He was caught on audio tape using the N-word. And now people are very upset with him about that because of the insensitivity of that word to African Americans.
Oh, man. When was that?
This was just this week. It just happened this week.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
He needs to stop doing that.
He does need to stop doing that.
That's good advice.
That's true.
So what do you think he ought to do to dig himself out of this hole? I mean, he seems like he's got a public relations nightmare right now, Dewan.
He need to be happy again with a lot of people.
That's it. That's it right there. Need to be happy again with a lot of people.
That's the answer we were looking for.
That's right.
Exactly what we wanted. Okay. So
my birthday's coming up on Tuesday.
Your birthday's Tuesday.
Really? Oh, happy birthday, Dewan. How old are you going to be?
25.
Fantastic.
Good on you.
It's a big birthday. Are you going to do anything?
This is my 7 year calling you guys on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You've been calling us for 7 years?
Since April of 2000.
You remember the month?
Yep,
that's right.
The first time when you guys told me to turn our radio down, Dwight. I did it. I don't know about that.
That's fantastic, Dwight. Well, it's been a wonderful 7 years. I just wish we got to talk to you more often.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Now, do you have big birthday plans?
Yeah, I think my mom's going to take me out or my friend's going to plan me a party.
A party, okay.
Okay, well, there's nothing better than your mom taking you out on your 25th, man. That's what every young boy dreams of.
That is true.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for our good friend Dewan calling in with some excellent advice for Dog the Bounty Hunter and just a general check-in. Dewan, we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Later.
Okay, bye-bye. I love that dude.
It's been a long time.
He's magic.
Yeah. I want to live with Dewan.
No, you don't.
Every day would be an adventure.
Does Dewan want to live with you?
Well, no, of course not. He thinks I'm crazy, yeah. But I love and respect him.
Have you ever been to where Dewan lives?
No. Well, yeah. I wasn't going to move into his house. I was going to have him move into mine.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
He's going to live in the barn.
Mike went over to his house. Stop it. Mike went over to his house to, what, deliver a poster or something?
Deliver the Drew Barrymore. It was some movie.
That's right.
Movie you guys poster. Got him a poster from the studio.
And he couldn't have been less surprised to see Mike. Just perfectly fine with it.
Hi, Mike. Come on in.
It's just, there's nothing better than a stranger answering the door in nothing but his underwear.
That was his brother?
No, his father.
It was his father, right?
With his, like, the peepee hole in his boxers
open. Are you serious?
And he wasn't at all, like, embarrassed or shocked. He's like, all right, hold on, get Dewan. Yeah, it was the weirdest.
Come into his house, you see him the way he is, man.
Usually that's what you look for in a home visit.
Yeah.
Some guy who's already done most of the work for you. You just strip down to his skivvies before you even got there. That just saves you time.
Usually his family's gone by that point, though. You know?
Yeah, true.
Let's not speak about Dewan's dad like that, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, good times. I'm glad we took that call.
That's
fantastic news.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, and it's the 2nd of Blovember. Yeah, I remember when she recorded that. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Friday morning. That means we have the movie beat. Tell you about all the new movies in the theaters. I believe today's American Gangster, right?
Yes. Oh, I've heard such great things about that.
Well, if you want to call that a cast. I mean, if, you know, Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe together in a movie interest you, I guess that'd be all right.
Also on today's show, we have Jesse Spencer from House.
Yep.
Going to talk to him today. One of the best TV shows on.
He's dreamy, right? The chicks like him, right?
Does he have
some sort of a following?
And still single.
What am I asking Lisa for when Mike's right here? What do the guys think about Jesse Spencer?
He's attractive and trim and muscular.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com today.
Oh, lots to catch up on.
We are going to debut another new song. This is a world premiere song. Maybe an artist you haven't heard a lot from. Works very inconsistently. Every once in a while puts out a new song, and it seems odd that he wouldn't just be a little bit more consistent. But Dave the King of Mexico has a new Clippers song.
I was
going to guess Eminem. No, it's Dave this time?
It is, yeah. It's the King of Mexico.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters, and it's wintertime? So anyways.
Yeah. It's going to be a long season for Clipper fans, just like it
sure
is for Laker
is.
Fans,
yeah.
It looks like.
Are they eliminated from the playoffs yet, or are they still
not
in it,
yet,
technically?
No.
Like, mathematically, they can still make the playoffs.
Well,
right?
Technically, yeah.
Okay.
Ask a dog trainer today.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
But you're not going to do any of it. That's what drives me crazy. Lisa's always excited. She always watches these shows.
Maybe.
And then she goes home and her dogs rule her.
Maybe there will be a gem this time.
It's all the same gem.
Charlie Brown. Maybe this time I'll hear something and I'll go home and I'll try it and it'll work. It's possible.
But you've heard stuff before that would have worked had you got home and tried it.
Or he'll say, you know what? Your dogs are like 9 years old. There's nothing you can do, and then I won't worry about it anymore.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say.
I'd be okay with that, too. Either way,
just
I'm
puppy
good.
Lake, right?
I'd kick him out training expert
I'll
if that's what he said.
But I know that, you know, they're just who they are.
Are you suggesting you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
Yes, I am.
That's what she's suggesting.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Wow. She cops out before she even gets to it. Ah, you know what? It's possible. My dogs just won't learn. Then why are you interested?
Well, why are we having a bit? It's not going to work.
There's no gem. It's
there
all
might
the.
Be.
It's all the same. You have to be in control. Don't let the dog be in control. It's all the same every time. What new are you going
to
hear?
There's got to be more.
No, they've told.
There's got to be more than
but
that.
You won't do what you've heard.
I think I do.
So what's the point?
I think I do.
All right, Lisa's going to be asked to leave during that particular break because
don't do that.
She's going to ignore it.
I'll just listen.
I know, but then you're going to just ignore it.
I don't ignore any of it.
You're going to come back and you're going
to
say,
do it all.
My dogs are still ruling me. I come home, they tell me what to do, where to go, how to do it.
It's not that bad.
That's what happens. And also today, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. He's got a new book called Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
What? That was a moment with Kevin.
Who couldn't understand that, for God's sakes?
Everyone. Not the least of which our guest. It's 5:48 Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph Garman. How are you?
Good morning, Bean Baxter. How are you?
Well, fine.
How's your blog rocking?
Tremendous response to stronglywordedletter.com yesterday. I want to thank all the very nice people. I got dozens of comments from people who were very kind.
So dozens now equals tremendous response.
For Bean.
Yeah. For a blog,
it's good for our ratings.
Considering he's been the only one reading it for a month.
Since dozens of people listen to us, I guess we can say we have tremendous listenership.
Well, when my blog went away last year, I had thousands of readers, literally thousands of readers. But it takes a while to get these things up and go and get the word out. You know what I mean, Ralph?
And, you know, a lot of those people feel, you know, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So they may not be coming back. Once bitten, twice shy and all that business.
I could just send it to you every day so you can read it yourself. You don't even have to go to the site if you'd prefer. I can
or
do that.
You could print it out for me, then ball it up, and then cram it right in your O-ring for me. That'd be better if you could do that, if you work that out.
What's going on with showbiz today?
David Copperfield.
Uh-oh.
Has turned to a high-powered public relations firm for damage control in wake of his sexual assault allegations.
What are you talking about?
This is the same firm that has represented such high-profile celebrities as Paris Hilton, Naomi Campbell, and Rush Limbaugh all during times of bad press. And so David is hoping that it can work for him, try to rebuild his, rehab his image a little bit.
Don't we need to find out if the charges are true first?
These are preemptive strikes, my friend.
All right.
In the high-paced... live on the razor's edge world of show business, you got to get ahead of the curve. Apparently, the PR firm is already working on some slogans for David's show that they think will have some positive reinforcement for his image.
Okay.
Snap, crackle, rape, apparently, is one they thought would lend a positive side to
doesn't
it.
Doesn't seem much very positive.
Rape, it's what's for dinner.
No.
No. It's rape.
No.
No.
I don't see Tony the Tiger.
None of that stuff working, huh?
No. I think they're going to want to maybe draw attention away from the rape charges and concentrate on some of the things where he's not raping.
Yeah, see, you would think that, but they think if you put a positive spin on the rape aspect, people will have
they're
a good feeling about David. Yeah,
what
they
do we know?
Doing.
We're not PR guys.
Exactly. So why don't you stand down?
Okay.
All right? Speaking of PR, Heather Mills went off this week against the media, railing against them, saying they're treating her like a pedophile or a murderer. No, worse, in fact. Well, you know who didn't like that? Her PR people.
Sure.
They quit on her.
They did?
Really? Oh, no kidding.
Phil Hall, her publicist, told People magazine after he quit on Heather, "It doesn't sit well with our company when one of our clients is attacking newspapers we're trying to build relationships with."
How about that?
So she's on her own now. And so
you know who else is pissed? Is pedophiles and murderers, by the way, for being compared to Heather Mills.
Hey, hold on a second. All right, I may murder, but I'm not as bad as Limpy over there. That's what they're saying.
You think there's ever going to come a point where she goes, let's see, universal hatred toward me. Maybe it is me.
Or maybe I shall retreat from the public eye a tad.
Any of the above.
Maybe I'll stop dancing with the stars and I'll stop speaking out in interviews. I'll just go to my cottage somewhere in the English countryside and wait till the storm passes.
Take my $100 million and just leave for a while.
Exactly. Well, a new movie's in the making. With two stars we've been dying to see on the big screen together.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg and David Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
Those two are cops.
These two
one
are
good, one bad?
These two are best friends.
Oh.
And Snoop tells Britain's The Daily Mirror that they have been talking about starring in a movie together.
Buddy comedy kind
of
thing?
No word on what type of genre it may be. Maybe it's a sequel to Brokeback Mountain. But Snoop says,
I think Snoop wouldn't do that.
Dave's been over to teach his kids how to play soccer, and the two have been talking not only about sharing the big screen together, but launching a joint fashion line. Now, by joint fashion line, when Snoop says that, does that mean they're going to do it in tandem, or does that mean the clothing will actually be made of joints?
I hope it's made of joints.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
What's crackling, my people? Keep it rock and roll, my nigga. Please.
Yeah.
He can say that, not me.
That's right. Doesn't seem quite fair, does it? Speaking of the N-word.
Yes.
Nice.
Dwayne the Dog Chapman issued a statement yesterday retracting what he called his regrettable use of very inappropriate language. Really, Dwayne? Do you think? Of course, by now you've probably heard that Dwayne used the N-word repeatedly to describe his son's girlfriend in a couple of irate phone calls with his son, but claimed that the audio was taken out of context. Dwayne's next step? To meet with black leaders.
Oh.
He said he's going to meet with black leaders who can teach him, and I quote, the right thing to do to make things right again.
He needs to go someplace else besides, quote, black leaders, unquote.
He's going to get down and get his stuff together.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what he's going to do.
What?
Well, we knew today it was either going to be Al Sharpton or rehab. He was going to have to head in one of those two directions to try to begin the rebuilding process.
About the words, I should have never have used them. I have the utmost respect and aloha for black people who've already suffered so much due to racial discrimination and acts of hatred. Geez, so many people have already called them the N-word. I feel bad for those N-words, basically is what he's saying. I did not mean to add yet another slap in the face to an entire race of people who have brought so many gifts to this world. I am ashamed of myself, and I pledge to do whatever I can to repair this damage I have caused. Dwayne, did you really write that? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I've seen you
show.
Talk on the TV. I don't think you wrote it. You nut job.
He's buying NBA season tickets this week just to show his support for the black man.
There you go.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Want to hear about the new X-Files movie?
Yes.
Sure.
Apparently, Chris Carter has told Daily Variety newspaper that it's already in the works to start filming this December.
That's exciting.
So they start shooting before Christmas.
That is good news because, you know, we had Dave Duchovny on a couple of weeks ago, asked him if it had been officially greenlit. He said at that time, no. So it sounds like now we're hearing from people that it's on the way.
The last X-Files movie, by the way, 10 years
long
ago.
Yeah.
10 years
How about
ago?
That?
Wow. And a good movie, too.
It was a good one. This film, however, says Chris, will be a really scary horror movie, like a standalone episode. They won't be touching much on any of the conspiracy stuff that ran throughout that series, which is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Because no one remembers anything about the black oil and the
Oh, I got
shadow,
it all locked right in here.
Government and smoking man's uncle's brother's son. All that stuff got a little dense towards the end of the run of the series, so it might be better.
Plus, they were making it all up as they went along, and they don't remember it and don't know how it ends anyway.
Was the smoking man, didn't he have an affair with Duchovny's mom? Wait a minute.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Can anybody look at the old episode? No, let's just write a new script. Just plug them in. And hearts. You hear that sound? You hear that sound? Hearts breaking all over the world.
I didn't hear anything.
What?
The Led Zeppelin reunion concert is off.
What?
No.
At least for now.
I've been looking forward to this more than anything.
A lot of people have.
What are you talking about? You weren't going.
You mean the one where people had to go into a drawing?
20 million people went in the drawing for tickets?
Yeah,
I think
it was one night.
One night?
November the 26th at a tribute to the founder of Atlantic Records, the late Ahmet Artigan.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Jimmy Page has broken his finger.
Pussy.
And when you're a guitarist, turns out you need your fingers. So it has been indefinitely postponed.
Wow.
Remember this magical moment?
Hey, any Zep fans out there?
Yes! Yes, you know that's true.
Tentatively, they say the concert could be rescheduled for December the 10th, since Jimmy will need at least 3 weeks for his finger to heal. But there's no official word yet, so they'll let you know if and when that happens. But it's hard enough to get those guys together on the same stage.
Yeah.
Now I'd be worried if I had tickets, but they say they're going to try to go in December, so we'll wait and see.
Okay. And you posted on that.
50 Cent's new video has been banned by MTV and BET.
Wow.
It is a song called I Still Kill.
I Still Kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's
all
the
right
message BET and MTV are not looking to send.
Possibly.
Right now. However, 50 Cent's upset about it. He said it's a double standard because MTV plays videos by The Killers.
He didn't say
he
that.
He said that.
He didn't know.
He was joking. He said it.
That was a
he
joke.
Was kidding.
He was not kidding.
He the said, Killers he don't said, kill anyone in their songs.
He said, how about Guns N' Roses?
No.
See,
no.
He didn't say that.
He said it.
You're doing a comedy bit here,
he
Ralph.
He said it.
Be
he meant
honest.
It. He's here to represent it.
Be honest with us.
I'm being honest with you. He told
you sit on a throne of lies.
He said that to New York Magazine. Pick up an issue and take a read.
That's, you liar!
That's a funny joke.
God damn you.
No, I'm not saying he didn't say it. I'm saying he was joking.
I'm saying he wasn't.
In a perfect world, he wasn't.
It's a double standard. They play The Killers and Guns N' Roses without any problems. Biddy said he might bend to pressure and call the name of the song I Still Will.
That's the same.
It is. I don't think it's going to matter when the video is people being blown away.
Right.
I Still Will. I don't think really will make a difference. But
That's tight.
I Still Kill. Not going to be seen anytime.
It's going to be I Still Will.
Kill. I Still Will kill you if you get me upset. Today's celebrity birthdays. Yesterday I just had a ton of great, great birthdays.
That was a good day.
Yeah. Now I got David Schwimmer.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything else?
David Schwimmer is 41
worst
years
friend
old today. Worst friend ever. Fieldy from Korn turns 38.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody?
Sure.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Nelly, the rapper with the Band-Aid on his face.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's still rocking the Band-Aid?
Nope.
Took it off.
No.
He took it off.
Band-Aid's gone.
He's 33 years old today.
It healed.
That was a long time, whatever that was underneath
there. It was.
And Carter Beauford, the drummer for the Dave Matthews Band, is 50 years old today.
I think he counts if there's no other celebrities. I mean, if you got a no celebrity day, what are you going to do?
Legendary lesbian Katie Lang?
No.
She's 46.
Go back into the lab and manufacture some more birthdays, Ralph.
Let me see.
Make some up.
Just make up some people for next hour.
Bobby Dahl, bassist for Poison?
No. Clearly below the line.
He's 44.
Yeah.
Prodigy from Mobb Deep is 33.
No.
No.
Yeah.
How about Stephanie Powers from Heart to Heart?
Don't feel like you have to come up with something
look,
on the spur
I'm
of the moment.
Out, I'm trying to see which ones stick, you know?
How old is she?
She's 65, Lisa.
Okay.
How
I
about
remember
that?
Her.
How about that?
Sure.
Yeah, you've got a sort of a young Stephanie Powers thing going on, Lisa, when I think
absolutely
about it.
Absolutely.
That's sort of a...
I like her.
Sort of a,
thank you.
Was she doing it with Robert Wagner? They were married. Weren't they married in real life?
No.
No, they were never married.
They were heart to heart.
Look good on the show.
Didn't she have a thing with William Holden?
Do you guys know we're still on the air?
She had a long time affair with
what's happening?
Film actor William Holden.
Who was an alcoholic.
Up until the time He died from being drunk and falling and crashing his head into a glass coffee table.
Hey, Ralph, we're still broadcasting.
She never got married.
Hence the invention of the William Holden drinking helmet, which now you can find in stores everywhere.
And didn't they have a little dog on Heart to Heart?
They did. Yeah. Freeway was
Freeway.
His name.
Freeway. Yeah. That was awesome.
And they had they had like a butler slash chauffeur slash sidekick named Max. Max was his name.
That's right.
Max, of course.
G, Mr. H, how you doing?
And talked like that.
She was really involved with the wild animals in Africa,
she was
too.
Very big into animal activism. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Guys. She was one of those just real attractive redheads, too.
Hey, you got to play a commercial now.
And Robert Wagner went on to marry another very attractive
going
redhead,
right into
Jill
a commercial.
St. John.
That's right.
That's when he was dating her. So
we'll see you in a minute. Maybe. Wow, what a great day for birthdays today.
Sure is.
See, this is why you people are going out of business.
Yesterday in the showbiz, we were talking about how many different celebrities had a birthday. And one of them was Larry Flint.
Mm-hmm.
Old friend of the program. We thought we'd get him on the show. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Now, Mr. Flint, of course, everybody knew who you were at the time of your movie about 10 years ago, where Woody Harrelson played you in the film. But a lot of people may not recognize the name anymore, which is kind of sad for all you've contributed to Naked Women.
Well, that's okay, as long as people are still enjoying what I do.
Which they are,
Which is, Hustler Magazine.
Hustler Magazine.
And the Busty Beauties.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Barely Legal.
Sure, that's my favorite.
Jail Babes.
Well, you were quoted on Jail Babes, if I'm not mistaken, B.
And of course, we have Hustler Hollywood Store.
Sure.
Where you can get all your sex toy needs and lubricants.
Now,
very, very popular.
Yesterday was your birthday.
Yeah.
Your life seems to have been had a lot of excess in it, a lot of naked women.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
Well, how do you celebrate a birthday? What do you do?
We had an all-day party yesterday.
Okay.
And first we started off in Tijuana.
You started the birthday party in Tijuana?
Yeah. Well, okay. That's where I woke up. So I figured I'd start there.
Okay.
I have no idea how I got there.
You don't remember the night before?
All I remember is we went down earlier in the week to do some shoots for my new magazine, Busty Donkeys.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then I woke up there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to party there a little bit. And then we went to Lake Havasu for some water skiing.
Water skiing?
Okay, water rolling.
Yeah, you're in a wheelchair. I mean, you're not out there water skiing, but you're still enjoying being around active people, I guess.
No, they pulled me behind a boat in the chair.
Really?
Really?
And I roll on the water.
Not your gold chair, I hope.
No, I've got an aqua chair.
Okay, good.
That's cool.
Made out of cork.
Those of you that haven't seen a picture of his gold chair, it is completely covered with actual gold.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a solid gold chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's heavy.
Nice. It's nice, yeah.
Well, now, I would imagine that a man of your advanced age, even though you're in good health, Tijuana and then Lake Havasu, that's got to be the whole day, right?
No. Then things got crazy.
After that?
Yeah, we went to Build-A-Bear. We made some teddy bears.
You went to a teddy bear store?
Yeah.
Building a bear?
Yeah, I built a bear.
For your birthday, do you name it? Do you adopt it? Do you buy it clothes? What do you do with it?
I call him Larry Bear.
Larry Bear.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's adorable. It has a little stuffed wheelchair he goes around.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's nice.
Huge bear penis.
So then after Build-A-Bear, you must have been exhausted.
No, medieval times.
Really?
I did some jousting.
Well, you can't joust.
Why can't I joust?
Well, I'm just saying you're not as mobile as some.
Well, they have a horse.
Yeah, that's true.
And I had a rocket-powered wheelchair.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So you stayed in the chair. Okay.
I get a lance and some armor, and then they put a rocket on the back of my chair.
I see.
Okay, well, that kind of spices it up a little bit.
Yeah, it was too powerful for what I was looking for.
Oh, no, really?
And I blasted through the wall and ended up in Covina by the time we ran out of fuel.
Oh, man, you must have been laughing about that as you went to bed next.
No. Then we went to Chuck E. Cheese's for some skee ball.
Chuck E. Cheese?
See, none of this medieval times, none of this, the Build-A-Bear doesn't sound anything like the life of the Larry Flint that we know and love, which is just nonstop chicks and drinking.
Well, then we went to Legoland.
Legoland?
Which is ironic when you think about it. because my legs aren't.
Yeah, I think we got that.
They're very go.
Right.
Leg go.
Right.
Leg, they're going to leg don't go land.
Your legs right. don't go.
Okay, so yeah. that's a late night at this
I
point.
Made
You're ready.
I myself a whore out of Legos.
Really?
Yeah,
oh.
I got pretty chafed trying doesn't, to use her.
Well, doesn't sound pleasant.
A lot of corners and edges.
Yeah.
It's not as soft as you'd like.
I think you could have seen that coming.
It would have been better. Right. If it was sure. softer. Right. Something less plastic.
No, right, I understand. Sure. Yeah.
Something a little softer.
No, it was rough. Better. We got that, Larry. It
wasn't comfortable.
Right.
Right.
And then we came back to the... to the house.
Just collapsed okay. in bed.
No, that's when I had a surprise party waiting for me.
Oh, what a day.
And my manager and lawyer was there, mm-hmm. and everyone of my friends. And they surprised me with the great news that I will be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
Well, that's... you.
There were.
I hope I get that Cheryl Burke.
Have you seen that show?
I will wreck her.
Larry?
I will wreck her like a Lego whore.
Larry,
have you seen Dancing with the Stars? You okay, Larry?
Yes, I've seen Dancing with the Stars.
You have? Okay, yeah. So, but that doesn't strike you as something maybe you can't do?
No, I'm, in fact, the reason I'm up so early, besides talking to you, is I'm going to practice my tango.
Well, I don't think you should.
You can't. You don't do that. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now. Don't do that, Larry.
Hold on a second. Let me get over it and dance.
Larry,
no, don't get. Don't try to get up, Larry.
Olay.
By the way, very, very close to a new King of Mexico Clipper song.
Yes. He has to put out the song now as the season begins. Otherwise, they'll be too far behind for him to brag about his yeah. club, right?
Well, so there's that's still a little hope.
Exactly. Yeah. My biggest problem in my life these days is I don't have enough time in my day. I only get 24 hours per day. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I can't keep up with everything Harvey Levin is doing in just 24 hours a day. I actually need more time in order to track what Harvey's up to.
Yeah, I get angry at you, Harvey. I go to your site and I'm like, how can you already have new stuff up? I just read it.
We don't sleep a lot.
Oh, no, you don't. Harvey, every time I talk to you, I think, well, thank God that's over, and that's the last time we'll ever have to talk about how crazy Britney's life is. And then we have you on again, and it's gotten even crazier. And we're going to get to Dog the Bounty Hunter in just a second. But this new story that you broke on TMZ.com about the private records of, I guess this was part of their divorce settlement, their bank accounts, how much they spend and on what. This is an unbelievably fascinating read.
It's so interesting. And, you know, it's really funny because we dug the documents up yesterday at the courthouse, and I called somebody who was part of the case, and they said, those documents weren't in there. And I said, yeah, they were. And I think, I don't know how they ended up in there, but it was part of the divorce file. And we were able to get it yesterday, and it really is... You know what? It tells a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It says that she makes $737,000 per month.
Wow.
Average. Average.
Average.
I could understand that with royalties and stuff like that.
I guess, yeah. That's a lot of money, though. I mean, that's a crazy amount of money, almost $1 million a month.
You know, I forgot to put in the article because there was so much in there. But she got a $5 million settlement. Do you remember when she had to cancel a tour because her knee was giving her problems?
Yes, right.
She got $5 million for a knee problem.
Oh, she had it insured or something?
Where do you get that kind of insurance? I mean,
no kidding.
That's
now,
really something.
For women who spend too much time on their knees.
So we've been talking in recent visits, Harvey, about the reinvention of Kevin Federline. And this paperwork does nothing but continue to make him look good. Britney's spending $100,000 a month on entertainment gifts and vacations. K-Fed is spending $5,000 a month. Britney is spending $16,000 a month on clothes. K-Fed spending $2,000. He's spending more money on things like insurance. Britney's spending less.
That's the funny. That's the punchline to this thing. She spends way more on everything except insurance.
Insurance, yeah. But wait a minute, Bean. I mean, K-Fed should spend way less. It's not his money.
Because he doesn't have that kind of money.
But we, in my mind, you know, when I think of what a douchebag K-Fed is, I picture him draining his ex-wife for every cent he has and then going out and blowing it on strippers strippers and cocaine. But that's not the case at all. I mean, you look at this, you look at his sheet, it looks pretty responsible.
You know, and except you look at the what they spend on education.
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. Right. Yeah, what's your quick reaction, Harvey, to the interview that you posted of Ryan Seacrest trying to interview Britney, her only post-album release interview that he did, and she could barely pay attention to the point where she put the phone down and walked away. What was your take on her mindset during that?
She didn't just walk away. She took a shower.
She jumped in the shower. You can't get the phone in here. Can't get the phone in here. I'm wet.
You know what? I mean, she really kind of lives in her own little world. And it kind of gets back to what you were saying earlier, which is that KFED has completely turned this thing around. I mean, when his lawyer took this case, when Mark Vincent Kaplan took this case, I thought, oh, this guy is crazy to take the case.
Right.
And because everybody just hated him.
Yes.
And now, I mean, think about it. You know, you make jokes about him going to strip clubs and stuff like that. When's the last time you saw that?
I don't even remember now.
Look. Wait a minute. Am I the only one that still thinks that guy's a douchebag? He hasn't changed.
He's a douchebag, but you have to give him credit for the change that he has made. I mean, you can't still judge him on his behavior from a year ago if he's had a long track record of living a regular life.
He's taking care of the kids.
Let's wait and see a month. Let's wait and see a year.
What's the douchebag statute of limitations?
That's a good question. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet.
Harvey Levin is on the line from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and, of course, TMZ TV, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. In our remaining minutes, let's talk about Dog. You have everything anyone could ever want to find out about Dog the Bounty Hunter. A&E has a show on hiatus. He was caught on tape using the N-word, referring to his son's girlfriend. How did that tape get out, and why is he making reference in the call to, I hope the Inquirer doesn't pick this up, and then yet they ended up with it? What happened there, Harvey?
Oh, no, you figured this out. I mean, what's going on here is that he was in a huge fight with his son, because his son was dating a black woman.
Right.
And Dog felt that this woman somehow was about to trap him, because he must use that word all the time, and trap him and then sell a tape to the Inquirer. So that was in his head. And he was calling his son, I'm told, to give him an ultimatum, either dump the woman or stay out of my life. And what it makes you think is, I mean, I don't have proof of it, but it sounds like the son is the one who taped the conversation.
That's what it sounds to us like, too, and gave the tape away.
Yeah.
Well, so you carry it one step further, and you start thinking, maybe the son and the girlfriend were in on what Dog feared from the beginning.
Interesting.
Wow.
Like,
How about that?
It was a setup?
Well, clearly, Dog was not happy, given his language, was not happy about his son dating a black woman. So
right.
You have to assume there must have been great conflict between the two of them.
Yeah.
And why is Dog saying that about the girlfriend? And if the son is taping the conversation, why wouldn't you assume that the son was in on it with a girlfriend from the beginning?
Yeah, that's
sure.
True. That is true.
And that's a point I was hoping to get clarified here today. The son was taping the conversation. It's not like Dog always tapes his phone calls, as a matter of course, for his business, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know for sure that the son taped it. I talked to somebody, you know, I'll tell you who I talked to. I talked to the pastor who who married Dog and his wife, and he pretty much said that to me as well. I mean, that's at least what Dog is thinking.
He seems like a PR pastor, that guy.
He's known as, by USA Today, calls him Pastor to the Stars.
I need a black guy to make a statement. Get out there.
Dog is going to start meeting with black leaders today. Is that a good first step in your opinion, Harvey?
I mean, you know, it's a cliche.
It worked for Imus. Oh, wait.
Well, you know what? Imus got a bum deal.
I think so, too. But that's why I say I don't know that that's the route you need to go. It didn't work.
No. But you know what's really interesting about this? Guess who's been really kind of quiet about this?
Al Sharpton.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on there? When we put that outfit of Beyonce's up and call the outfit a robo-ho.
Yeah, of course.
And he went crazy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he got some criticism, and he's a little gun-shy of stepping out again and doing this, because he's been really quiet.
I hope that's the case.
Wow.
Well, it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks and months to see Dog kind of rebound and go on Dr. Phil and do the tearful apology and probably end up in rehab. And then I guess we'll see what people's tolerance is for that kind of language here in the 21st century. But we know you have to go, Harvey.
It's the Michael Richards Tour 2007.
It is. Here we go again.
Absolutely. Have a fantastic weekend.
But can I, real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys see the Paris porn shop tape?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yes, it's great.
She's so dumb.
Is that the best?
Isn't she so dumb?
Oh, my God. We put it on the show last night, and then we just put it on the website, the full tape. But it is just hilarious that she goes in there wearing a skeleton costume and then says, why do you have that Paris Hilton tape? And then all of a sudden she reveals herself. Well, it's me.
It's me, you bastard. She thought he was going to melt.
You got to see this video, folks. If you didn't see the TV show last night, go to TMZ.com and check it out. Harvey, have a great weekend. And try to take like 45 minutes off at some point between Friday to Monday and relax a little bit. All right? Will you do that for us?
Yes, guys.
All right. Fantastic. All right,
thanks, Harvey. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
David Copperfield really calling for that, by the way? That's what I heard. Is that true? He requests that? He's been in the news lately.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Whatever. Play it.
It's Friday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Dave the King of Mexico, as you know, is the sleepiest little Mexican we know. And the only thing that animates him, apparently, is Los Angeles Clippers basketball.
Hit
quote,
it,
unquote,
Mike.
Basketball.
Well, can we set it up at all or anything?
Sure. Okay. Go for it.
There's two things. There's Rage Against the Machine shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's Clippers.
Do you text during Clippers games, too, or is that just during Rage shows,
all
Dave?
All the time.
All the time. Warrants. You text all the time. Okay.
What are you doing? I'm watching the Clippers. What are you doing?
Why?
Clippers scored. Yeah.
Look, I understand your enthusiasm for the Clippers some years because some years they put a pretty good team on the floor and you think, well, maybe, you know, maybe it'll be above 500. Maybe it'll be a winning team.
Yeah, the past
no
couple
one
years.
Expects anything out of this year, yet you seem more excited about the kickoff tonight than any other previous season. Why is that?
Because there's no expectations.
Okay.
We can just go and enjoy the games, and if they win, awesome.
Here's the thing about
if they
Dave.
Lose, eh, oh well.
Though, Bean, Dave is one of the people. I don't know how many this is true of, but this is true of Dave, and Mike can back me up on this. He's more of a Laker hater than he is a Clipper fan.
Oh,
just
is that
happens
true?
To be the other team in
it
town.
It used to be like that. Now I'm more of a Clipper fan.
Well, they turned you last season?
They
came
couple
in 10th?
Seasons, you know, ninth, by the
All
way.
All right, so this was the first song that the Dave the King of Mexico did.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah.
Nope, not. Turns out they weren't.
Made the playoffs, almost made the NBA Finals that season.
At least Elton Brand is healthy for tonight, though, right?
Come on.
Not so much?
Nope.
So you have a new song now. This is Spring Hopes Eternal here. This is the guy is the most optimistic person in the world as the season kicks off. Now, why are the Clippers not playing until today? Didn't the season start on Tuesday?
Well, today's the first day that all the teams are going to play. You know, the first
today's like the third game for most teams. No one wants to see the Clippers.
No,
that's the problem.
Really analyze how they lined up, how they staggered the way they started the season.
Yeah,
with the
you
teams.
Know they were going to. The first couple of days are just marquee games, marquee players, you know, like Kobe, you know. It was supposed to be Odom versus and Durant, the
right.
rookies. So the Suns, Mavericks, LeBron, you know, so it's all right.
Okay.
It was Tuesday. First, then Wednesday was the second-tier players. And then yesterday.
There was only a total of like 9 games played.
Yesterday was the rookies.
Tuesday. From Tuesday to today.
Hey, showcase some European teams after that, and now the Clippers play.
Now, what are your hopes for this Clipper season? Because it doesn't seem like they're much better than the Lakers, unfortunately, are going to
no.
be.
No. My hopes are 500. I'm happy.
500, all right.
I'm happy with 500.
Now, is that in everything in your life or just with Clippers basketball?
Just with Clippers basketball.
Dude, if he could shoot for 500 in his life, he'd be thrilled.
Can you realistically sit here right now at the beginning of this season and say the Lakers will have a better record than the Clippers?
No.
You really believe that?
No, but okay. I'm not going to say the Lakers are going to be better than the Clippers.
Well, let's put some money on it.
Yeah.
We do it at the beginning of every season.
You know what? I will. Because okay. when they get rid of Kobe, they're going to be horrible. So
when they get rid of Kobe, or Kobe implodes, or there's a lot of problems
and,
that could
you
happen.
Know, yeah, when Kobe takes 47 shots a game and everyone's going to hate him, it's going to be awesome. So,
I will bet, even with the problems, even with his state of mind, the fact that he wants to be traded, he's not happy with the organization, I'll bet Kobe against the Clippers.
Yeah, seriously.
That would be a tough match.
Now tell us about the new song. What caused you to do another song?
You know, it's just new season, a new song, man. You know, got to keep the hopes high and get the city of Los Angeles pumped for Clipper basketball. That's right. Clipper
Seriously,
basketball
though.
Tonight.
All right,
7:30, Golden State Warriors at Staples Center. Be there.
Now, is there any way you want to set this up, or should I just roll right into it?
Roll it.
Are gonna shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
are gonna shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. We're gonna miss you, baby, but we're gonna hold it down.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Clipper Lot. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings. The Clipper Lot. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler. The Clipper Lot. We'll still beat LA. We'll still beat Portland. We'll still beat Seattle. But the playoffs are all that matter. Yeah.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
So we're not that good, but we'll play with heart like you know they could.
Proudly.
And when we get brand, they'll turn around. We'll be playoff bound.
Party.
Don't leave, he said. Go ahead and switch the team up. And if they hate, then let them hate and watch the wins pile up. So clip a lop, that's the way I live. And you know I'm gonna drive Kevin crazy. And I can't wait to watch the games of Kristen Bell, my baby. And if you're feeling me now, put your hands up in the sky and let me hear you say, hey, 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 we're good.
Yeah!
Come on! So you're no longer the king of Mexico. You're now DCOM. Is that what I heard?
DCOM is the house, yo.
DCOM.
Represent.
My favorite line, so we're not that good.
Yep.
I like that. All right, you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, Sounds. I don't know if you want to hear that song again, but if you do, it's there.
How does it make you feel, Dave, knowing that every Clipper fan will go to krock.com and download that song, and that means 12 people will hear it?
That means 12 people are going to be blasting it, yo, and Clipper Nation's going to rise.
All right, DCOM.
Yeah.
Ralph, your hero Rich Eisen from the NFL Network joins us just after 7 o'clock talking about his new book.
I love that goddamn channel. Man, do I watch the crap out of NFL Network.
How do you watch the crap out of a TV station?
I just go, I look with my ears, my eyes, I look really hard.
Well, he has a fascinating book that we'll talk to Rich about how the NFL Network came to be and how it has become such a huge force in such a short period of time. Plus, we'll talk to him about, of course, the game that everybody's talking about, which is the Patriots-Colts this weekend.
No,
well, that's going to be a good game, too.
Everyone's talking Philly and Dallas.
Sure they are.
But Patriots-Colts, this is the furthest into a season that unbeaten teams have ever faced each other since 1921. That's how significant this weekend is.
Super Bowl 41.5, they're calling it.
All that with Rich Eisen coming up. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I want to give you a little programming note. If you're a TV fan, something you might want to catch. And this came to me via listener Grace, and I appreciate you sending this in, Grace. Dear Ralph, remember a while back you had mentioned how much you loved Wally George?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went on YouTube to check him out because I love crazy people and saw a few clips from his show. Well, I wanted to let you know that KDOC, the channel that carried the Wally George Show, is celebrating the 25th anniversary of The Hot Seat, and there's going to be a mini marathon tonight.
Oh.
From 8 p.m. to midnight on KDOC. I thought you might want to check it out. So just
Channel
people
56.
Know. Channel 56. KDOC is celebrating 25 years of The Hot Seat with Wally George. I don't think Wally will be attending.
No.
No.
But if you've never seen the Wally George Show, here's your chance to see some crazy ass television, and it'll be on at 8 o'clock tonight. You might want to check it out if you happen to be around a TV. So,
do we know anyone who gets that channel?
How dare you, sir?
No, I'm asking. I'm serious because it's not on DirecTV, right?
I don't think so.
But I think if you have DirecTV in LA, it's one of the channels on your TV. It's local. Yeah, it's local.
I hope so because we got to get some of that.
I get it. I know because I watched the Wild Wild West on there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a good show too. Wild Wild West.
Cheers.
Cheers is on there. Get Smart. A lot of good shows.
Hey, you guys know we're still on the air, right?
I Dream of Genie.
I Dream of Genie. Oh, it's good stuff. Yeah.
The hell?
Night Gallery.
Saved by the Bell. Combat.
Twilight Zone.
Combat.
Oh, Combat.
Yeah, Combat.
Game.
It's like UHF television used to be. I don't remember UHF or not, but it used to be that you had your major networks, and then you had these independent channels that had no programming, so they would just show reruns of old classic TV shows, and that's what KDOC is. They do good stuff there. So there you go. Hayden Panettiere is better than you.
Yes.
For many, many reasons. But not the least of which, she is an Echo Warrior. Or Eco Warrior, I guess you say.
Yes.
She belongs to several eco-friendly groups, including one which recently took a trip to Japan on a mission to save dolphins. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the fact or not, but the Japanese are still slaughtering dolphins over
not
there.
Not familiar with that, no.
Yeah.
Is that while they fish for tuna?
Yes.
Yeah.
And right before they kill whales?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lisa, man.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene Simmons.
Speaking of fishing for tuna.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What's your panty drawer up to?
What's your panty drawer up to? Because it's up to holding panties.
Yeah. Anyway, Hayden went on this trip, and she and a few other brave souls with the organization got in the water on surfboards in an attempt to move the dolphins away from a cove where the killings are allegedly done in secret by local fishermen.
So they kill them just because they're in the way?
And apparently they eat them, too. They eat the dolphins, too.
Man.
Apparently the local fishermen didn't appreciate it and tried to scare them off with boat propellers and a hook.
Ooh.
They were driving close to the people on the surfboards trying to knock them off and trying to scare them off with the boat's propellers and throwing hooks into the water.
That's World War III right there where they treat Hayden Panettiere like that.
Apparently Hayden was killed, but she got better. Hayden says she saw a baby dolphin that had been orphaned by one of the murdered dolphins in the water. And she says she can't even think about what happened to the baby after they left. So,
now, what happens in your little mind, Kevin? Because you love Hayden, yet you hate the environment. So how do you reconcile the two together?
That is a good point.
I don't hate the environment.
What do you Kevin do? Was burning paper plates while he was listening to you tell that story.
That's right.
That's just not true.
And you know what he was setting them fire with? Burning baby seals.
Oh, yep.
He uses
Kevin.
The flaming seal to light the paper plate.
You know what I found out, though, is that if you burn 10 fewer plates per month, it's like taking 7 billion cars off the road.
Kevin sure hates the environment.
I don't.
He does hate the environment.
I don't at all.
Attention Harry Potter fans. J.K. Rowling has just announced a new set of fairy tales she's written called The Tales of Beedle the Bard.
The Tales of Beedle the Bard.
Yes.
It's a whole new thing?
A set of fairy tales. This time she's writing fairy tales for kids. Here's the only problem. She's printing 7 copies.
Why?
Doesn't seem like it's going to be quite enough.
Won't be much of a bestseller that way.
No.
Only one of which will be put up for sale.
Okay, now you're just dicking with us.
That's what she's doing.
Come on. I know, but why?
She is putting one up for auction to benefit her charity, The Children's Voice. That'll be auctioned off on December 13th. The rest are just going to be sent to her friends.
Well, okay.
Well, don't bring it up then. Not you, her.
Not you, her.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, yeah, don't toy with us. Go back to the mindset of you're lucky to be published.
And speaking of which, she has not ruled out the idea of doing a brand new set of Harry Potter books, but Harry Potter prequels before Harry is born and
feature on his parents,
maybe his parents and the rest of the staff there at Hogwarts before they started working as working at the school.
So you might Dumbledore at the White Swallow.
How dare you, sir? So a lot of news regarding her.
That's a dick move, isn't it? To say, hey, I've got millions of fans around the world who would like to read this, but no, you can't.
There's just 7 of them. They're going to friends, unless you want to pay for an auction.
Yeah. I can't remember who the musical artist a number of years ago decided to make an album with just 1 copy.
Oh, come
on. Just 1. And sold it like a painting. Said, you're the only person in the world who has my new album. There's only 1.
I remember that.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Yeah.
It's pretty obnoxious. Dwayne the Dog Chapman issued a statement yesterday retracting what he called regrettable use of very inappropriate language.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
This, of course, stems from the audio that was taken of a phone call between Dwayne and his son when he used the N-word repeatedly to describe her. She's an African-American young lady. He says the audio was taken out of context.
Oh!
Trust me, we heard it. There's no context there that needs to be surrounding that piece of tape. He also said he's going to meet with black leaders who can teach him the right thing to do to make things right again. Right, right, right.
Okay.
I should have never used that term, he said.
It was not even an option to not use it on the phone call.
No, it was not.
It's just no question that that had to be done.
I have the utmost respect and aloha for black people who have already suffered so much due to racial discrimination and acts of hatred.
Why didn't he know all this 2 days ago before it was revealed publicly? Certainly, this isn't news to him that word is offensive to the majority of people.
Yeah. If you truly believe that way about how rough the blacks have had it, then you don't use that word.
Right.
I think. But that's just me. And, continuing big news about the G.I. Joe movie. Oh,
yeah.
It's very exciting. I mentioned last week that George Clooney was rumored to be starring as the role of Duke in the upcoming G.I. Joe film. Well, now another name has been thrown into the ring. Mark Wahlberg as Duke. I could see him as Duke, couldn't you, Psycho Mike?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
These people don't appreciate the G.I. Joe series. Maybe we'll taste the G.I. Joe theme.
G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
However, a lot of G.I. Joe fans up in arms. Apparently, director Stephen Sommers, the guy who brought us the Mummy movies,
right, mm-hmm.
has said now that his G.I. Joe will be very different from the animated TV series. G.I. Joe is now a Brussels-based outfit that stands for Global Integrated Joint Operating Entity, he
That's
said.
Crap. That is crap.
He's going to make it like a Mission Impossible rather than the original G.I. Joe.
No, G.I. Joe has to be, he has to be Captain America. Come on.
I know. He said the film will be closer in tone to X-Men and James Bond than a war film.
Boo.
They will battle an international co-ed force of operatives who use high-tech equipment to battle Cobra, the evil organization, headed by a double-crossing Scottish arms dealer.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God.
Very
no.
upset.
No,
very
just
upset.
No.
I'm very upset.
Ralph.
I'm upset.
Ralph.
I'm upset.
No.
I'm very upset.
No.
I'm upset.
Ralph, no.
I'm upset.
No, no, no,
I'm upset.
No.
I'm upset.
No.
Global. The end is near.
Global Integrated Joint Operating Entity.
Crap.
Bite me.
Yeah.
Bogus. At least come up with a better acronym.
And Brussels-based...
Brussels. What comes out of Brussels other than Sprouts?
And
yeah,
Van Damme.
That's
and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's offensive on every level, that
it
story.
Is. Kevin, how do you feel about it?
I can't work up any interest
You're
in this story.
Quiet over there.
You guys are all outraged by this.
Of all people
Seriously.
To not be into this movie, I would have thought Kevin...
I'll probably watch it when it comes out, but I'm not going to be upset that they're basing it in Belgium, for God's sakes. Who cares?
You just don't get it, man.
G.I. Joe has long been a symbol of the American military.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right, Kevin.
It's
Why
offensive.
Do you hate America?
Yo,
Why do you...
Joe!
Yo, Joe. That came from DCOM.
DCOM?
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Word. That's all I gotta say.
USA! 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 USA!
By the way, real quick, if there's going to be a double-crossing Scottish arms dealer as the enemy and Sean Connery is not cast, it's just death to anyone.
Yeah, you need like an R rating, though, if you hire Connery.
That's true.
Connery,
yeah.
True.
Today's celebrity birthday is Carter Beauford. You know him. He's the drummer from the Dave Matthews Band. Maybe you don't know him. I don't know why I assume that. It's very possible you don't know him, but I just told you who he was. He's 50 years old today. David Schwimmer from Friends is 41. Fieldy from Korn turns 38, and Nelly turns 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And we'll ask a dog trainer, the latest in our continuing series. Ask a dog trainer. Good thing we didn't get the dog trainer in the same day as the Muslim, by the way, because they have problems with each other. You know what I mean? Muslims and the dogs.
Right.
Like a, yeah, keep them separated by a couple weeks, I think is wise. All right, it's 7:10 on Friday morning. Of course, Friday means another great weekend of NFL football, and you can't live without NFL Total Access on the DirecTV. We're happy to have the lead anchor for the NFL Network back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Say hello to Mr. Rich Eisen joining us. Hey, Rich.
How you guys doing?
We are good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
You know, it's funny because they gave me a book to take home and look over, but they slipped in a different book, and I was not aware of it. So I sat down, and I read this first sentence in the book. It all began in the hot tub next to Redskins offensive lineman Chris Samuels.
Oh.
I was like, whoa, this is not the book I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and then you read on and you realized.
No, I quit. I was like, I don't want to read that.
It's all over. It was funny. Years ago, 4 years ago, actually, Sunday is when we launched on NFL Network. And the first commercial we did to promote our network was a commercial with the soundtrack of Dear Mr. Fantasy, that great song by Traffic, and putting me in all different interesting situations in the NFL world, and that would be in next to the cold tub in the training room of the Washington Redskins, in my own very separate tub, however.
Sure. Now you had just come from SportsCenter, right?
Yeah, from ESPN, yeah. And so they needed to, I guess, launch this network in a way to let people understand what it's going to be about, and what they wanted it to be about was, just show that we're going to take the fan every single place in the NFL universe, not just, you know, the field and inside the locker room, but, you know, with the players everywhere they go, including there was one scene with me and Deuce McAllister of the New Orleans Saints where we were checking out some bling in the jewelry shop, and I was checking it out through a loop or something like that. And it was, you know, an interesting spot, and that's the way I started out my book, because which is called Total Access. And that's the way I started it out, because it turned out that way, that my next 4 years was going to be in the middle of the – center of the NFL universe, just taking fans everywhere, and I had no idea what I was in for, and it's been a hell of a trip so far, and I decided to just write a book about it.
Well, here's what's remarkable. Now, the NFL Network is, I mean, maybe I'm overstating, but it seems like everybody knows about it. Everybody that wants to get it knows how to get it. You got 50 million, you know, homes or something like that. But there was a time when the channel started that people thought, well, why on earth do we need an NFL Network? Why do we need something that's on every day about football? Which, right. You know, and you know, it's amazing what you guys have been able to build. But what I loved about the book, Rich, and I think it's very funny, and it's weird because all the times you've been on the show, never knew you were funny before until I read your book. So congratulations on that.
Very nice.
But the stuff that really amazed me is, and we have this in our job too sometimes, is you find yourself in situations where you just can't believe this is your job. Like when you're, you know, you talk about how you're interviewing, you know, President Bush, number 41. You talk about how you're interviewing Mick Jagger. I mean, all the stories of the people that intersect with your life on the NFL Network really makes for fascinating reading. And it's, and I think people will be amazed to see how television gets put together when they see all the stuff that you put in the book about what goes on behind the scenes too.
Well, I appreciate that, because, you know, and I'm sure you guys would love to let people know in your job, you don't just flip on the, you know, the lights or the microphone or and the whole show comes together. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes.
Have you heard this show?
Wait a minute. Have you heard our show?
And, you know, so I wanted to really take the viewer and really put the viewer in my shoes, like literally take the press pass from around my neck and throw it on the viewer's neck or the reader's neck, certainly for the book, and really place them in what I do. For instance, I'm fortunate enough when I get to cover the Pro Bowl, I get to go to the and stay in the hotel that the players stay in and see all that goes on there. And so the name of that chapter is called What's Your Room Number? Because the huge hazing ritual that happens at the Pro Bowl every year is that the veterans get the room number of the rookie Pro Bowlers and take their entire tab and throw it on the rookie's tab.
Excellent.
And so by the end of the week, the poor rookie Pro Bowler who thinks he's going to go to Hawaii and have a good time walks out with a 5-figure hotel room. And then one time last year, Marshall Faulk, one of the best players in the history of the game, was one of our, he's one of our analysts now on NFL Network. He tried to get my room number, was successful at it, threatened to run up my hotel room tab until I admitted that he did get my room number. I refused to do it, so he mentioned it on TV, and then it was a lot of more fun after that.
I like
the whole story about that.
I like that kind of blackmail. That's good.
I love your chapter on the NFL draft, which, you know, for most football fans is too boring for them to watch anything more than the highlights. But you go into excruciating detail of what your 20 hours of live television are like that. And it's unbelievable how much stuff goes on behind the scenes that I never could have imagined. I mean, you really, really bring it to life. We're talking to Rich Eisen on the line from the NFL Network. Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe is the name of it. And one more question about the book, too, before we talk about this weekend, Rich, and that is, I love the story you tell about how Terry Bradshaw was on your set and almost got tackled by one of the security guards that's there to guard the NFL trophy.
Yeah, the Vince Lombardi trophy, or VLT, as the league calls it.
Sure.
It sounds like a sandwich.
It does, yeah.
Is part of our set dressing every year of NFL Total Access. Another one of those sort of pinch me moments that the trophy that I grew up, idolizing and so many fans love to see, and all the players, you know, spill their blood, sweat, and tears to try and get. That's basically our set dressing. And it sits there in front of our set every year at the Super Bowl for about 4 or 5 days. And I get to see what really goes on behind the scenes with the trophy. It is made by Tiffany's, so it does have its own blue bag.
Wow.
It comes in a huge trunk in its blue bag, and it has a security detail that guards it like it's the President of the United States, never lets it out of its sight. So the only way you can touch the Vince Lombardi trophy is if you put white gloves on, so you can't. The only people who touch it with their own bare hands are people who actually win the trophy.
Right.
So Terry Bradshaw, who has actually touched that trophy 4 times as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, comes on our set, notices it, because he was on our set as a guest in Jacksonville at the Super Bowl a few years ago, runs over to it, grabs it, picks it up on live television, at which point some woman who is part of the security detail in her red parka or a red sort of slicker comes running onto the set on live TV and tells Terry Bradshaw to put it down. And the two of them
put it down and back away.
Back away from the trophy, sir.
That's awesome.
And it was a really funny segment that I recount the whole the whole interview, because Howie Long was asking the woman, you know, if she was going to arrest Terry. It's pretty funny.
It was a great story. Rich Eisen on the line from the NFL Network. Now, where are you going to be for Indianapolis, New England this weekend? Where are you going to be watching that game?
I'm going to be sitting in the NFL Network studios next to Deion Sanders and Steve Mariucci, getting ready for our weekly Sunday night highlight show, NFL Game Day, because we're going to be talking about this as well as all the rest of the games in Week 9, because there are some other actually important games, like Terrell Owens of the Cowboys going back to Philadelphia, which would normally register like a 10.0 on the media Richter scale.
But right.
This week with the Colts and the Patriots going at it, it's hardly getting a boo or a peep. But I'll be sitting next to these guys and watching all the games, including obviously the Colts and Patriots, and dissecting every down.
Now, the Colts have seemingly had the Patriots' number, what, the last three times they've met, but this Patriots team looks so exceptional, it's hard to imagine. I mean, they're beating people by 25 points a game. It's hard to imagine they can't win this thing. What do you think, Rich?
It's a scorched-earth policy that the Patriots have right now, that they're not only beating teams, but they're putting them in the fetal position and sucking their thumbs. It really is remarkable what they're doing to everybody, which is why everybody thinks, despite the fact that the Colts are the defending Super Bowl champs and are at home, you know, that they're going to destroy them. And it's hard to not think that way, that's exactly what's going to happen in the game this Sunday.
You're probably going to interview Peyton Manning again soon, right?
Sure, yeah.
Tell him to shut the F up and snap the ball. Tell him to stop yelling for 30 seconds and snap the goddamn ball.
You know, half of that is, as I'm sure you suspect, means nothing.
It's fake, I know.
It's like he should take out flags and do semaphores.
Yeah, stop wasting our time, for God's sakes. Nobody says more than he does when he gets up under center.
Most of that is drivel. You know, we talk about that. Anytime there's a big game for the Patriots, we always talk about, what are you doing? You know, what's he doing at the line? You know, sometimes he's changing the protection scheme. He's telling his offensive lineman, you know, to watch this guy, watch that guy, or telling the running back, because he goes to the line with two running plays and a pass play, or vice versa, two pass plays and a running play, checks out the defense and calls it himself. But half the time, he's just going to stick with the same play and just does that stuff.
IHOP after the game, table three. IHOP after the game, table three.
And then, of course, he does a commercial for IHOP after they score a touchdown.
Is that the only team that does it that way, where the quarterback has some options and calls it?
No, some other teams do have a couple of quarterbacks that have the ability to go and change it at the line, but very few. A lot of them just tell the quarterbacks run the damn play.
Yeah.
And but Peyton Manning is obviously who he is, and
he's great, don't get me wrong, but shut the F up, for God's sakes.
I like
well,
that. Well, I will tell them that.
Okay, good, thank you.
One of the things I learned from Rich's book in closing is that Tom Brady was drafted 199th out of 200 that year in 2000, is that right?
He was 199th. He was a sixth-round draft choice out of Michigan, and that's why, you know,
wow.
I talk about in the book about doing your due diligence on who to draft. That's why the second day of that NFL draft, even though I question my own existence because I'm in my 20th hour of covering it at that point
sure.
in time. It's very important, you know, and I just want to leave no stone unturned for a football fan. You know, if you want to know what it's like to live and breathe it and eat it, you know, 24/7, 365, that's what this book is about. And it came out Tuesday, and it's also available on Amazon.com.
There you go. Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Rich Eisen, our guest. And, of course, the NFL Total Access Monday through Saturdays at 7 o'clock and then the big day on Sunday. Rich, always great to have you on, man. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys down the line.
Bye now.
We're going to have to ask Lisa May to leave. I think she's got too many issues.
Yeah.
Got too many problems. Can't be helped. The guy's not
listen.
A miracle worker. He's just a dog trainer, Lisa.
I think Lisa needs a private session.
Here's what's happening.
I'm not going to bother the on-air stuff.
If I could just give you some behind the scenes. Ralph got a dog. The dog's name is Reggie, and he got a trainer. The trainer's name is Zach Gray. And he's a specialist. And there's no worse dog owner on the planet than Lisa.
Oh.
So this is our end around of trying to get her some help by doing Ask a Dog Trainer.
When I mentioned Zach on the air, when I was talking about Reggie, I got a ton of emails from listeners who said, oh, that's great. You're in training. I've got a dog and he does this. What do you think I should do? I was like, wait a minute. I'm taking the class. I'm not teaching it. So we thought we'd bring Zach and he could answer some of your dog questions.
Zach, first of all, good morning. Welcome to K-Rock. How are you?
You
got to speak up.
Bean just said hello.
Yeah, there we go.
Hi, Bean.
Now he can hear us. Okay. All right, you got to speak up a little bit. Urban Tales is your place on Beverly Boulevard, urbantales.net, and that's T-A-I-L-S. What goes on there? What do you guys do?
Urban Tales is a pet supply store we opened up in early June, and really became a hub of the training Urban Tales. But most importantly, we decided to offer a store that we could, you know, kind of offer the best of the best. We have a whole green section where you can shop exclusively green if you would like. And we do have some clients who really appreciate that. So all the eco-friendly products. All the foods that we carry at Urban Tales are human-grade foods. Meaning, well, I guess you could actually eat it.
I have yes, have you?
Oh, we've done that.
I don't recommend the lamb. we don't have any byproducts or fillers or flavor enhancers. So it's just some really good stuff. And it doesn't mean like it's boring stuff. Actually, it's really, really good food. And most people recognize the brands out there. And we have dog and bird and cat, small animal, reptile. But it's a really big space. It's a very comfortable space.
But you're a trainer, too. When you're not at the store, running the store, taking care of the store, you're doing like helping out people like Ralph with their dog and dog problems, right?
Yes, I am.
Are you allowed to talk about your celebrity clients?
Well, you can ask me.
Well, I mean, just
have some discretion.
Just like that, you know, Mia Jovovich, Michael Eisner, Ellen DeGeneres, Portia de Rossi, people like that. Their clients?
Their clients or past clients. I kind of...
Tell us about their private lives. No, I'm just kidding.
What's funny about Mila is I didn't realize it was Mila. The big joke I have with my business partners, I don't know who shops. I'm not real celebrity savvy.
Right.
So I did a session with Mila and
I'd like to do a session.
Towards the end.
Hey, wait
like,
a minute.
Towards the end, she mentioned something about, you know, someone ran up to her and they wanted an autograph. I'm like, well, maybe I should like Google her. And so I leave the session and I call my business partner. I'm like, do you know who Mila Jovovich is? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, who? She goes, she's been in like everything. She's like in those
Resident Evil movies.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, that is her. So, but she was really cool. And Michael Eisner, that was a little intimidating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was Michael Eisner.
Sure, yeah, because he could have you killed just by making a phone call. Now, what about
the guy in Hollywood who can't control his dog? How about that?
I need help. I can't do anything with it.
Crazy.
But they were great, actually. They're really cool.
Now, Zach, what about this? You mentioned Ellen and Portia. What's the story? Ellen, like, got a puppy and drowned it or something? It was all
no,
in the news.
Stop it.
What's wrong with you?
Did you know this puppy, this one that has been at the heart of this custody battle
Iggy,
between
right?
the agency?
Iggy Gate.
Iggy Gate.
I'm quite familiar with Iggy. I worked with Iggy for a couple of weeks.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
How come you couldn't make Iggy get along with the cats?
That's really not the issue here. I have four cats.
Oh, really? So
there was a lot of things involved in that. And basically, I mean, Ellen and Portia, they're really involved with this dog, and they really love this dog a lot. And basically, they're going through a transition, so they wanted to make it work. And so I was kind of like the halfway house. So Iggy came and lived with me and my cats and all my dogs and came to the store.
Why couldn't you get Portia to come live with you? That's the call, dude.
Portia's a sweetheart. She's really sweet.
All right, we're going to throw open the phone lines for calls, and I'm sure you run into this anytime anyone finds out you're a dog trainer. I mean, we all have dogs. We all have some problems with dogs. What do you get asked the most about? What's the most common behavioral problem that people have with their pets?
My dog doesn't come when called. I'm like,
that's
well,
a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, your dog probably doesn't really think of you as anything more than a sibling. And when my brother calls me and I don't want to come into the house, I give him the finger. or not. Not really, Corey. But, you know, someone who I really respect, and I always, you know, talk about my relationship I had with my grandmother, she was my soulmate. And so whatever grandma said, I did, you know, paint the house, Zach. I paint the house.
Right.
And I do that just because, our relationship is that I respect her and I trust her that she makes those decisions. And most people send the cues to their dogs that they are, you know, siblings or they share rank. And you have to realize dogs look for leadership. And it's kind of a cliche, but it's true. They look for leadership because they respond to hierarchy much like we do. And if we don't give them that kind of hierarchy in their life, then it becomes, you know, like
chaos.
Lord of the Flies, because there's no one in charge, and so
right. You know what's weird is this information has been around forever, just like dieting, just like. But still, there are specialists that are needed because Lisa owns dogs.
Well, there are little
you know?
Things like you were
and
just saying that, and then thinking, okay, then is it bad to when you want to let your dog up on your couch with you?
Well,
I mean,
this.
Are those things you shouldn't do ever? Because
no, absolutely not. My dog sleeps with me every single night. He's great.
Where does Portia sleep then?
Can't comment.
Should you let your dog up in bed while you're having sex to lick the asses of the participants
that.
Like Lisa used to?
I don't do that
you
anymore.
Do that.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Actually.
We need to get her dogs
well, Zach,
taken
you
away.
You said that the dog sleeps with you every night, but he doesn't know that
he doesn't
he's allowed
know that he can't.
Right?
You know, it's not like the late show comes on and Moon jumps into bed with a bottle of Corona and invites me up there. It's an earned privilege. yeah, your dog can get up on the couch. But if you're experiencing behavioral problems with your dog, like pushy alpha behavior,
right,
your dog better ask for permission.
So you don't let him just jump up. You invite
exactly.
them
You
up.
Invite them.
Gotcha.
She lets her dog Zach's kick got, her out of bed.
I mean, Reggie's still a puppy, but Zach's got Reggie, who worked with us to get Reggie trained, where he wants to come up on the couch. He comes and he sits at my feet and he looks up at me. And then I get to make the decision whether he's allowed to come up or not.
I am the lord of the manor.
Exactly.
I will speak if you can come up on the
I
couch.
I rule the roost.
Exactly. You're a control freak and it's great.
Except when my wife is home and then she's the
right.
1-800-5-
And you have to ask her permission to come up on the couch,
that's right?
Right.
I sit at her feet.
1-800-520-1067. Ask a dog trainer when we get...
So I have to say this before we begin. I don't know what kind of crazy voodoo magic this guy is working, but Ralph's dog rings a bell when it has to poop.
Yeah. When it has to go outside to the bathroom, it rings a bell.
That is awesome.
Okay, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Trust me. When Zach told me it could happen, I said, you are effing high.
Rings a bell?
If a dog doesn't poop in my shoe, I'll be happy. He said, no, I'll get your dog to ring a bell and let you know when it's got to go outside. I said, you are smoking dope. But now there's bell near the door. He goes over and goes, ding, and I have to come over and I escort him out. I feel like a bellhop.
Wow.
At a doggy hotel.
I would look around for the hot chick, though, when I heard the bell.
That's right.
I'm so conditioned.
That's why I don't want him listening to the show, because he would just be going to the bathroom every time Bean rings the bell for a hot chick.
Great point. Yeah. Zach Gray is in the studio. Here's our guest today in the latest in a long series of Ask Us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today is Ask a Dog Trainer. Urban Tales is the shop on Beverly Boulevard. UrbanTales.net is the website. All right, folks, we got a lot of calls. We could take them all day, but we have a very limited amount of time. So really kind of get right to the point. Very few pleasantries. Get right to your question for Zach. Ask a Dog Trainer. Let's start with...
Hang on.
Oh, big intro.
Yes.
We have time for the big intro?
You need to help get your dog under control. You need your dog to slow its roll. Woof. Ask a dog trainer.
Why does my dog always crap on the floor? You better ask a dog trainer. Yeah.
Show that dog who's boss.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Dog.
Wow.
There you go.
Sweet. I think Zach's got a new ringtone.
All right. Let's start with Tom in Van Nuys. He's down on line 7. Got to be a very common question. I'm curious to hear what the dog trainer says. Hey, Tom, you're on the Kevin Beach on Kira. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Ralph and Savannah. How you guys
Hi.
Doing?
Good.
Hey, Zach. My problem is that my dog barks when I'm not around. I can't stop him, obviously, because I'm not there.
Are the neighbors complaining?
Yep.
How many hours a day is he left alone?
Yeah, I leave for work at like 7:30, get back at 5 o'clock.
And the dog, what kind of dog is it?
He's a blue pit lab mix. You got him at the pound.
And is he in the backyard? Is he in the house? Where do you keep him during the day?
He's in the house. We're in a condo. I moved out here to a condo. He's used to being in the house, so I think all the traffic going by there kind of...
Yeah, so he's usually barking at the front door, looking out the front window, barking at things going by.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really a lot of fun for a dog to do, especially when they have nothing to do all day, you know, because it's not like they're, you know, watching the soaps and you know, surfing the internet and
they're
watching
bored.
Porn. They're bored. So looking out the window and seeing people go by, first of all, your dog thinks, wait a second, there goes someone's walking by the condo. I bark and they leave. Oh, I just chased someone else away. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The first thing that I would recommend doing is to bring it down to management, which means don't give your dog access to the front. Okay. Don't give your dog access to that window where they can look out. But most importantly, think about meeting the needs of your dog, which I would bring in like a dog walker or a hiker. I mean, you've got a dog that's like a Maserati. Your dog needs exercise.
Take him out every night.
Yeah, this,
but that's once a day.
Yeah, that's once a day. I'm talking about that, you know, those 8 hours that you're gone. I mean, that's a lifetime for a dog. They don't have a concept of time. So the first thing that I would say is, you know, you manage that situation by not giving him access to, you know, the external stimuli. But then most importantly, think about, you know, getting the dog out in the middle of the day. You know, exercise. Listen, boredom is a leading cause of destructive behavior and barking. So, exercising your dog, enrolling in classes, developing a really good relationship, having your dog secure when you're gone. That's a real common problem that you're experiencing.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go
Thanks
to David in Temple City. Good morning, David.
Good morning. My wife's miniature poodle started earlier this year. It's 7 years old, and it started to go to the restroom all over my hot rod parts that I'm building that are laid out all over the garage.
It's pooping on your car?
It's revenge,
obviously.
I was
feeling this on purpose, but I did notice that there was a feral cat in the backyard during about the time that it started, and I had a litter. And animal control came and got the cat and the litter, but I think
it's afraid of going in the back because his cat was literally chasing this dog inside the doggy door.
So the Min Poodle is 7 years old, male or female?
Female, and miniature.
Intact or spayed?
Spayed.
Okay. Was the dog ever crate trained?
I'm sorry?
Was the dog ever crate trained? Does it
You know what? We didn't raise it from birth, but it's always used the doggy door. It's always gone outside, so I would assume yes. It's never made a mess inside the house.
Okay. If you feel like your dog is having a fear of the backyard because of their feral cats back there, then you have to reintroduce the backyard in a very positive way, which means you're going to have to start escorting the dog back out to the backyard and start encouraging elimination because it's kind of throwing the whole house breaking into. I mean, if this is exactly, you know, what's going on, it's hard to, you know, assess the situation, you know, just by a phone call. But if the dog is afraid of going into the backyard, then you have to reintroduce the backyard. Or alternatively, get the dog out on walks and don't give the dog the opportunity to go on your hot rods. So, you know, it's, you know, the dog is being supervised. If your dog is going on the hot rods, then guess what? The dog isn't allowed in your hot rod with your hot rods and supervised.
Is it possible that his wife has trained her poodle
to pee on the car parts?
It's quite possible.
Yes, that's what I was afraid of.
More than likely.
Like, probably likely.
Thank you for the call. You know, before 2 weeks ago when Ralph decided he liked dogs, he used to always recommend on this show to other dog owners that they should send their animals to Puppy Lake. And I was wondering if that is an accepted policy within the dog training world, is just to put your dog down if you don't like its behavior.
Do I have to answer that question?
No, you don't. I don't know the answer.
No. Sometimes
a good newspaper SWAT helps.
Nothing a burlap bag and a brick can solve.
That's what Ralph has said so many times. And Reggie is a lucky, lucky dog. Let's talk to Amber on line one. She's in Moreno Valley. We're doing Ask a Dog Trainer on the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. Amber, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're on with Zach. What's your question?
Good morning. I have 2 1-year-old. They're Beagle Terrier mixes. They're both females. And we just got them about 2 weeks ago, and they have already torn up the entire backyard. They ripped out every single sprinkler, every hose, and I don't know how to keep them from doing it. Everything they can get in their mouth, they chew on.
Wow.
Are they puppies?
Got a handful.
They're a year old.
The pound thinks that they're about 1 year old.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're sisters because they look identical.
Okay. So the first thing you want to do when you bring animals into your household is you want to implement training immediately. The fact that you adopted two, which is one is enough, you know, but now you have two. The big problem you have when you have two dogs is you get overbonding. And overbonding happens is when they're spending their time together. They don't really know who's in charge of the household, so they start negotiating amongst themselves, and they really don't listen to you. You become like a third party. So when you get two dogs, you really want to treat them as independents, and you want to implement that training because implementing training early on is going to establish a hierarchy. Dogs respond to hierarchy, much like we respond to hierarchy. And so really when it comes down to it, your dog needs to learn two commands, sit and off. Dogs need to learn how to do something to get something. So sit, do something to get something, off, stop, whatever you're doing. But implement training, separating them. I mean, if they're left in the backyard and they're tearing up the backyard, remember, you know, like one of the other caller, boredom is a leading, you know, it's a leading cause for destruction and bad behavior. So getting your dogs out on their walks, taking them to group classes.
She should probably provide them with a lot of things that they can chew too, right?
Yeah,
things they're allowed to chew.
I mean, you know, sometimes like throwing a bunch of chew toys in the backyard really doesn't, you know, help the situation because if they're really just like bored, they're just going to hang out and they're going to chew everything in sight.
Mm. Yeah. Well, then they chew them up within like 2 minutes.
Yeah, well.
And they're already destroyed, so we've already tried that.
Zach, it sounds to me, I'm just guessing, most dogs would really benefit from some actual professional training, right? I mean, it sounds like a lot of what you're talking about is stuff that most people just don't know how to do.
Yeah, actually, you know what? More than the dog, it's the person, it's the owner. I mean, everyone can benefit from training. Because, you know, dogs just respond to their environment. It's your responsibility to change the environment. And most people don't have the tools or they don't understand, you know, the behavior or how to start working with the dog. And really, it's quite easy. You know, dog training is not complicated at all. And it's one of the things that we're doing at my store. And my mission is to demystify it.
But isn't sort of consistency the key to with ownership when
absolutely.
You have a dog? You got to do
everything.
The same thing all the time in order to get the dog to respond automatically to whatever you want it to do.
And I always say, you know, dogs, you know, like, you know, people and lovers and children, they're opportunistic. They're going to try to get away with things that they want to get away with or that they can get away with. They operate on pleasure and pain principles. So just sending those messages to your dog, who you are, I mean, everything it's a win-win situation all around when you implement training.
Right. You think you could train our producer Lightning sit and off?
Off he has down. That's the problem. Off, he's off a lot.
That's true, yeah.
Sitting down. I've mastered that. I can sit like an MF. All right, listen. We've just barely scratched the surface, obviously, of this topic, and everybody has dogs and everybody has questions. So let me give out Zach's information again, and I don't know how much time you have or how overrun you already are, but Urban Tales at 7515 Beverly Boulevard, Los Angeles is where the store is. UrbanTales.net is the website. And again, it's Tails, T-A-I-L-S. Zach, great to meet you, man. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me here, guys.
Show that dog who's boss. Bow, wow, wow, yibby-yo, yibby-yo.
Bow, wow, yibby-yo, yibby-yo, dog. Be prepared. Learn how to shut off gas service to your home in the event of an earthquake or other emergency. Visit SoCalGas.com/safety. The gas company, a Sempra Energy utility. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
If you're worried about your gas being on, you light a match and see. Right? I mean, that's...
good advice.
That's good advice.
Okay, good.
Hey, Ralph, Jesse Spencer, Dr. Chase on the TV show House joins us after the news at 8.
I can't wait.
Shame you don't like that show, Mark.
Oh, it's the best goddamn show on television. Gets better every week.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Well, if you're a fan of shows like House and you like words, you may be in trouble.
No.
Yesterday, the Writers Guild of America held a big meeting of all their membership at the LA Convention Center and gave their leaders permission, should it go that way, to go out on strike. Now, keep in mind, there's still a chance the union might settle with the motion picture and television producers over the weekend, but the most likely scenario is that they will walk out on Monday.
What's that going to affect first?
Well, do we know? It depends on how you look at it. A lot of the producers, especially in television, have been stockpiling scripts so that they can keep shooting even if there is a strike.
Right.
Anything that has already been written and purchased apparently is fair game in terms of producing stuff. I know a lot of movies are going into production earlier than they expected because they're trying to get the production started before the strike. The problem may be is that the Teamsters Union may also honor the picket lines and not cross them.
Oh.
And that would create major production problems for the various films and TV shows because you need your Teamsters on the set to keep the production running.
Yeah. And I would imagine that shows that are written and performed today, like Jimmy Kimmel Live, for instance, that's the kind of show that would be shut down first because, you know, you can't stock those up.
Right. Your daily live shows that are written would be in problem. I mean, did The Daily Show, I mean, any talk show would run into that unless they're just going to go without writers, which I wouldn't recommend for a lot of them. I can't imagine Regis and Kathy Lee or whatever her name is just riffing for a couple hours. That would be bad. Speaking of talk shows, didn't Letterman have something to say about the writers?
Well, here's what we're talking about. Because of the impending strike and the possibility of the strike, and by the way, this could cripple television. It could bring television to its knees. There would be no more television. And the guy that you bought your TV from, Circuit City or wherever you got it, they'll be by the house to pick up your set. They'll come and get it. They'll come and take it away from you because there's nothing to watch, and there are people around the world who still have television, and that's where your TV will go.
I didn't know that's what would happen.
Yeah,
apparently so.
Yeah, it goes to like Cameroon, I think, is a big country. They've taken a lot of our TVs over there.
How about that?
You know what? Maybe the writers should write better scripts because it looks like they're out. Apparently, it's just been announced that Meryl Streep will be starring in a movie as cooking legend Julia Child.
Really? They're making a movie about her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Julia Child, the one that brought used to cook on television?
She was popular and had dozens of best-selling cookbooks.
Fine.
But they were
cookbooks. Movie in a cookbook.
Yeah.
It's barely a movie in most regular books.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Mind freak Chris Angel, Chris Sarantakos, has ridden the coattails of everyone from Britney Spears to Cameron Diaz when it comes to free PR. His next target apparently is Bono.
Oh, great.
Cameras from TMZ.com caught Chris Angel horning in on Bono's time at the Pure nightclub in Las Vegas this week. I guess Chris Sarantakos saw cameras and a celebrity, and so immediately he's like that douchebag you see in the magazines. Like, who's that guy in the photograph? He's like,
oh yeah,
always sticking his head behind people. If there's a photo op, he'll be there.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
That's for sure. And Dwayne the Dog Chapman issued a statement today retracting what he called his regrettable use of very inappropriate language. Dwayne, of course, was audio recorded having a phone conversation with his son regarding his son's girlfriend, who's African-American, and he used the N-word a whole mess of times. He says he's going to meet now with black leaders who will teach him the right thing to do to make things right again.
Did he call them black leaders, or did he have another choice word for
them?
He
called them N-word leaders. I don't know if that helped the situation or not. I did not mean to add yet another slap in the face to an entire race of people who have brought so many gifts to this world. I am ashamed of myself, and I pledge to do whatever I can to repair this damage I have caused, the dog added.
No, he didn't say any of that. Someone's writing that stuff for him.
That's a PR person.
It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I upset the N-words. I love the N-words. And Shaka Bra. Aloha.
I've never known such blackness.
Today's celebrity birthday is Nelly. Nelly the rapper. You know Nelly. He sang this hit song, Nelly did.
Oh, man.
Didn't he sing
yes,
this
he did.
Hit song? Didn't you tell me that you had something
I
to play?
I had it. Where is it, Mike?
Some Nelly?
I was counting on
hot
you because
being hot in here.
You knew where it was.
Boy, is he writing a check
there.
To get cash
it's right
now.
It's right there. Oh. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
There yeah. You Nelly's.
I've never known such blackness.
Nelly's lost a step, I think, in his performance.
A bit. You're right.
Really. Fieldy from Korn's 38. David Schwimmer from Friends is 41. And Carter Beauford, the drummer for the Dave Matthews Band, turns 50 years old today. Stephanie Powers from Heart to Heart is 65. Do you want to hear about her career?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, we're going to have to ask you to leave because only House fans allowed in here
no
right now.
No way. You know this is the best goddamn show on television.
Yeah. Only people who watch and like The House on Fox Tuesday nights at 9 are available for this interview. I'm
this
sorry,
is
Ralph.
This is the only show I watch real time. I don't TiVo it. I watch it and sit through the commercials because I cannot wait more than a second when it's on the air to
no
see it.
No kidding.
I must see it fresh as it comes through the air into my
eyes.
Well,
then you are very familiar with our guest. He is Jesse Spencer on the line. He plays Dr. Chase on the TV show House on Fox, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Kira. Good morning, Jesse.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, Jesse. How you been?
Good. Very good.
This house, by the way, gets crazier and crazier every week. This season, I really think at some point you guys are going to run out of crazy cases with people that we've never heard of before with the stuff that they get. It's unbelievable the diseases that are out there that no one's ever heard of before that you guys dig up on this show.
I know, you'd think you'd run out, wouldn't you? But then you take one look at a medical, like the John Hopkins textbook, and then you sort of realize that there really is just unlimited material.
I'll tell you when it'll run out is when the writers strike. That's when it'll run out.
There you go.
That's when it'll run out.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this guy this past week, for instance, you know, it was a great episode on Tuesday. This is a guy who just mimics whatever is going on in the people's lives in the room with him is what he turns into. I mean, how you can't make stuff like that up. That's what's amazing about this show is how deep you go into the medicine.
Yeah, and then sometimes they... What I love, too, is that they'll also have a very simple diagnosis that is not, you know, some crazy disease that no one's ever heard of. But one week it'll be like, you know, like, I don't know, like we missed something or we screwed something up or there was a very simple...
Right. You're looking for much more complex stuff.
It's like the girl who was eating moldy rye bread and that was giving her an LSD trip.
Yeah.
Now...
Go on.
Ever since there have been doctors on television, actors have had to complain about the dialogue, how tough it is to memorize all that stuff that doctors have to know. What kind of a problem has that been for you, Jesse?
It's kind of fine for me because I don't have to say the sort of stuff that you has to spit out every day. But the weird thing is how his memory works, because if I have medical dialogue, I have to memorize it, like go over it the night before. I happen to know that Hugh learns it while he's sitting in the makeup chair.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me?
That's not fair.
No, I'm serious. And I'm like, it really gets my goat. Because
it should.
How does your memory work like? Like, he's obviously got some sort of a massive short-term memory muscle. And I've got more of a long-term memory or something. But I wish I could just sit. But he's got slabs of medical dialogue, and he just sits. He learns it in the morning before he goes on and does it. I've absolutely no idea how that works.
But, wow.
I mean, the guy's a genius, so it's probably got something to do with it.
Jesse, what's it been like this season? There's been a big shake-up on the show when they brought in all the new candidates for House's team and you and Omar and are around still working. When you first saw that change in the path of the show, were you concerned as an actor that maybe you were going to, you know, lose your gig?
Actually, no. I was kind of excited because I knew that we weren't actually leaving because they were kind enough to to tell us that we weren't leaving.
But right.
You weren't fired.
So, like, you know, before you read the script, it was one like, you know, that we're going to fire your character, but you are coming back next season. But
right.
But we need to, we want to change things up a bit. So I've actually been very excited about it. Basically, because I get way more time off now than I have.
Sure. You know, it's odd though. That's one of those things where most shows don't have the balls to go, okay, way successful, great show, you know, critical acclaim. Let's change everything up. Most of the time, they just ride whatever they have as far as it'll go till it dies.
I know. It is risky, you know, and bringing it, you know, we've got. I don't know how many people were. There's like 8 new cast members or something, and we originally started with 6. That's a, you know, we've over doubled our cast. It's not going to stay like that, obviously. You know, more are going to leave, but you know, we're still going to end up with, you know, an extra, you know, 40 to 50% more cast.
Right.
It still is quite a change, but I think by the end of last season, end of season 3, I think something had to give, you know. It's like, why would these 3 people, you know, stay under house for this long?
Right.
That's a nightmare to work for. Something has to change, you know.
It must be fun for you, too, because Chase kind of has his balls back now that he's not kissing House's ass all this season.
I know, right? I kind of liked kissing ass. This is the one thing I was like, you know, when we first started the show, they had Cameron and Foreman being the, you know, trying to oppose House and doing what he's doing. I was like, hey, can we just have Chase, like, kind of happily going along with what House is doing? It would be kind of cool, don't you think? You know, he's like the only, one of the only guys that'll be like, yeah, let's do it. I'll do whatever you want. I don't care.
Right, because most of the time what he's talking about sounds absolutely crazy.
We are talking to actor Jesse Spencer on the line right now, of course, about the great show House, which is on Fox Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. You know, it does, of course, it's television and it's meant to be entertaining, but don't you guys sit there as I do watching House every week and go, there's no way, as brilliant as he is, that any doctor could get away with the stuff that House does in that show, that talking to people the way he does, patients, administrators, stuff like that. It really does stretch believability, don't you think, guys?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously it's a fictional show and the guy, if there was someone like him, he would have lost his license, you know, years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if we, you know, followed that rule, then we'd have a pretty boring medical show.
Yes, we would.
Well, that's a good point.
And Heroes would be boring, too, if none of them had superpowers.
I think Cuddy's just keeping him around because she wants to bang him. That's the only real reason.
Hasn't she already banged him?
You tell us.
Says the guy on the show, by the way. All right, last question for you, Jesse. Kevin made reference early in the interview to the looming writer's strike. It could happen at any time. Do they tell you anything on the set about what to expect? What do you hear? What do you know?
About the writer's strike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear the same rumors that everyone else hears. I don't really know, to be fair. Well, I don't know. What have you heard?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're giving them over the weekend, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To work things out.
There you go.
I think we lost it. Well, you like having that time off. You may have plenty of it soon, but I hope that's not the case. I hope everybody works everything out, and there's lots more Houses all season long. Tuesday nights at 9 on the Fox Channel. Jesse, great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Bitches.
It
does need that, doesn't it?
It needs bitches, that, I think, yeah. At the end. Let's talk about the 4 new major releases coming up in theaters this weekend. Not a lot of movies to choose from. Yeah, isn't there usually music under
there? Yeah, what's going on there, Psycho? What's the deal here?
Oh, there it is. Mike didn't want
to play
that.
Are you new? Are you people new? Come on now.
Look at me.
That's the first time we've done this feature on a Friday morning.
Right? That was my fault. I apologize, Ralph.
By Friday, you think we gave enough steam towards the end of the week to really have the show sort of moving, you know? Like the gears would be oiled. We'd all be moving along.
You've thought that for a long time.
I know.
We'd have our guests on better phones so they could be heard.
That was brutal. That was brutal. I thought he was calling from the space station.
Well, he's a foreigner. You know how they are.
Yeah. Let's talk about Darfur now, shall we? The comedy hit of the season, says New York Times.
Are you sure you want to check that
out? Adam Sandler stars as a wacky Darfurian who has to move in with his
fellow firefighter Darfurian and pretend to be gay.
No,
so
that's,
they can
I
collect,
think you're confused.
That's they can
Larry.
Collect medical aid from the Red Cross.
Nope.
Nope, that's a different movie altogether. This
Wait,
is this
what?
Is serious
what
about the genocide.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
This is a documentary that follows the struggles and achievements of six different individuals making a difference in Darfur and around the country. Don Cheadle and George Clooney appear in this documentary talking
wow,
about
Wow, okay.
Here's a little clip from the film featuring those same said actors, Don Cheadle and George Clooney, speaking at a news conference.
Very recently, there were aid workers that were attacked. A convoy was overcome and supplies burned that were strictly for humanitarian aid. We need to press that these stories not be small paragraphs on page 17. We need these stories out.
Our call today is that priorities be linked to human survival, not political process, because someday this will end. And the question then will be asked, where did the nations of these United Nations stand?
Don, George, I hear you, fellas, but come on. I got to follow what's happening with Britney Spears and her whole custody
yeah.
thing. I mean,
You're
I only got so
us.
Much room for news, okay?
Look, no. No, please.
What? No, please.
No, no please on this movie.
No
I'm
Darfur?
Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
It's tough to be into going to something that's that negative. I know we shouldn't feel that way, but...
I mean, I follow that story. I'm interested in the country and the issue, and I see it on the news, but that's not how I got the 2 hours and the 10 bucks for my entertainment time. It's just not.
Well, okay.
That's not entertaining enough for you?
You just live on Isolation Island, and you just close off from humanity then. Why don't you? That's fine.
Look,
the people at Darfur will be fine. Don't worry about them. They're okay.
Okay, good. Yeah. As long as you say they're okay, then I feel good about it.
Then you should go see Martian Child, Bean.
I
this has got
this.
Our pal John Cusack in it.
It sure does. John Cusack stars as a science fiction writer who becomes convinced that his adopted six-year-old son is actually an alien from Mars. It's a heartfelt dramedy about a man establishing a bond with a young child. He's a single dad who adopts this boy and has to go through the trials and tribulations of trying to raise a child. And on top of it, the kid's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some unorthodox styles of parenting, which causes some concern with the adoption agency that provides him this child. Here
is it good to be like him?
Sorry, were you going on?
Here is a scene featuring Bobby Coleman as Dennis, the little boy, asking John Cusack's character if it's important that he be normal and be like everybody else.
Is it good to be like everyone else?
That's a really good question, which is usually what adults say when they don't have the answer. I think what's important right now to remember is that you need to learn stuff.
About human beings.
Exactly right. Instead of, you know...
Human Martians.
Which you already know a lot about, right?
How cute is that little Martian?
It's cute for a Martian.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Cusack should just give him to the hairdresser. He doesn't.
Oh, how dare you.
It didn't work out.
I don't know if you heard about this movie, but there's a movie called Bee Movie, apparently.
What?
No, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, apparently Jerry Seinfeld.
What?
Jerry Seinfeld plays Harry B. Benson.
Why aren't they promoting this movie at all?
I don't know. You'd think NBC would get on board because...
Oh, commercials or something? Yeah.
They'd be in there and they would talk
Absolutely.
About it.
Tie-ins to other shows? Man, you'd think they'd really go crazy.
In the animated adventure, Jerry stars as a honeybee who decides to sue the human race for stealing bees' honey. He's a maverick bee. He plays by his own rules.
He doesn't play by regular bee rules.
He is an outlaw bee. Here's a scene where Chris Rock is telling Jerry Seinfeld's character about life as a mosquito.
Bees hang tight.
Well, we're all jammed in there. It's a close community.
Not us, man. We on our own. Every mosquito on his own.
But what if you get in trouble?
Trouble? You a mosquito. You in trouble. Nobody likes us. It's all smacking. People see a mosquito, smack, smack.
At least you're out in the world. You must meet a lot of girls.
Mosquito girls try to trade up. Get with a moth, dragonfly. Mosquito girl don't want no mosquito.
See, mosquito girl don't want no mosquito.
Is that mosquito used proactive before Lady Love?
Sounds like it.
He did.
Lady Love!
Yeah. Look, it's fine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine. If you got kids, you got to take them to a movie, you could do a lot worse than hearing Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld read the lines, you know?
That's true.
I bet this will perform beyond expectations.
Oh. How do you do it?
That's what I think. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank God this one's finally coming out, by the way, because ever since Seinfeld showed up in a bee suit at the Cannes Film Festival last year, we've been hearing about this goddamn movie 23 and a half hours of every single day.
Renee Zellweger and Matthew Broderick also co-star with Jerry in B-Movie. And lastly, American Gangster opens this weekend.
Oh, now we're talking.
Now we're getting somewhere. I've been looking forward to see Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington, Josh Brolin, Cuba Gooding Jr. all star in the true story of Frank Lucas, a powerful Harlem drug kingpin turned informant. By the way, they had to change the name, right? No brother in Harlem running drugs named Frank Lucas.
Hello, I'm Frank Lucas. I am the African-American drug runner. Hello, Frank Lucas. Nice to meet you.
I think it was, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but okay. Still, doesn't sound very black to me.
No.
He, no wonder he had to turn informant. Can't command a lot of respect being Frank Lucas. Sound like a mobster's accountant. You don't sound like a mobster. Should have been something like, hello, I'm Cyclops Jones.
Cyclops Jones.
Now that's a name that put some fear into you.
All right, Dog the Bounty Hunter. We don't need your help writing this movie, all right?
Here's a scene where Russell Crowe, who plays a detective who is hunting down Frank Lucas, tells his boss what he's discovered about the drug kingpin.
My investigation indicates that Frank Lucas is above the mafia in the dope business, and he uses U.S. military planes and personnel to transport pure number four heroin into the United States, and he's been doing so on a regular basis since 1969. I have cases against every member of Frank's organization.
Frank's organization.
Every
single...
No black man has accomplished what the American mafia hasn't in 100 years.
Hey!
Wow,
sounds awesome.
Does sound awesome. Why is Richard Dreyfuss so angry, though? I don't know who that actor is, but it sounds just like Richard.
He's never done this. This was no boat accident. It was a shark attack.
Easy, Richie. Relax. Yeah, this is the pick, obviously, for the weekend. American Gangster. You got to check this out. Looks like a good time at the movie theater. Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington, two of the angriest actors in Hollywood, going up against each other. Pretty strong.
Looks great. And no Darfur either in this one, too, which is another thing.
Why do you got to come down on Darfur? Don't they have enough problems over there without you shunning them?
Yeah, you don't have to go, but don't just poo all over it.
Don't shun Darfur, man. That's what I'm asking you.
Okay.
Power, my brothers. Up with people.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Best Polo Academy song ever?
Chuck D's got something on his mind again this morning, I guess. It's the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:42 Friday morning. The reason we bring it up is because, once again, the N-word is back in the news. Dog the Bounty Hunter right now has no career. They've taken his show off the TV. They're not making it anymore because he was caught in an audio tape calling his son's girlfriend the N-word. Look, we've got opinions on that, and I think they probably mirror a lot of what you are thinking, you listening to the show here this morning. But what does our one black listener think? Let's get Token on the line and find out what Anel thinks about it. Good morning, Anel.
Nice.
Good morning, fellas.
I know.
Man, first the fat boys break up, and now this.
Wow, yeah.
I know. It just gets worse and worse.
I did not have Dog in my N-word guy pool, man.
Isn't that too bad?
My money was on, like, you know, I don't know, man, maybe like a Matthew McConaughey or kind of a, you know, more of a redneck type of cat, man. But Dog?
You guys have the N-word pool going on?
Oh, yeah, man. We got them all in there, man. You'd be surprised some of the people I got in my N-word pool, man. Let's put it that way.
Let me bring something up, because we haven't had as much time to talk about the subject as I would have liked to now. And I want to ask you if you think I'm way off base. One of the reasons that this story is so interesting to me is how anachronistic it is. His use of the N-word is not like what you've been hearing in recent years, which is people who are using it as a colloquialism or as a substitute for friend or just as a, you know, as kind of a lingo kind of thing. He's actually using the N-word the way people used the N-word in 1870. That's what's so shocking about it, is he's using the N-word and meaning it.
Back, you know, especially when he threw the ER. I mean, like, he threw like an extra R on there, I think. It was like, you know, effing, you know, I'm listening to the thing, and I kind of was, you know, I was like, damn, Dog, is that really how you feel? Like, you know, I mean, you know, people forget, man, Dog is, you know, Colorado redneck, man. You know what I'm saying?
He
lives in Hawaii now, you know, the shocker, bro, and all that kind of stuff. But let's be real here, man. The guy's a convicted felon. Did he kill somebody or something like that? You know,
just to watch him die.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Anel, can I hear your impression of Dog the Bounty Hunter again, please?
No.
You sound constipated.
So what are you saying, Anil? Are you saying we shouldn't be surprised to hear talk like this out of a guy like this?
No, man, we really shouldn't. I mean, people get mixed up, man, because you see the guy on TV and he's preaching Christian, you know, Christian quotes to meth addicts and stuff like that. You know, you don't know what happens when these cameras go off. You know what I mean? You know, it's, these people, man, I'm telling you, that you see how loosely he was using it left and right, man.
Yeah.
He was tossing it like ninja stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just listening to the tape, you know, the negative version, and I'm kind of like, wow, you know, you got to feel me. I'm a black man. If I called another black man, what Don called him, I would get punched in the face.
Is that right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because, I mean, he took it there.
Wait a
know?
Minute. Hold on. I thought it was cool for black people to refer to black people.
But you got to feel me. The way Dog was saying it.
Okay.
You
know,
that's the difference.
Like, yeah, he took it. He put it into a context to where it was more of a direct slam and a slander as opposed to, like, you know, a term of endearment. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, gotcha. Right.
You put the A on the A, you throw a little accent in there, and all of a sudden you go from my nerd to my and, you know, everybody's happy. You know, but Dog, I mean, he slipped up, and yeah, no, he's done. I mean, you know what I mean? Where's Michael Richards? In Thailand or something? Or Japan?
Yeah, he's
you know.
Getting his thing together.
Anil, does the black community watch Dog the Bounty Hunter? Is he even a celebrity in your world?
Man, look, black people love to watch any show where people get in trouble. I'm telling you, White Cops has been on the air like 20 years, man. I'm telling you, I've been to the county. That's the number one show in the county, man. Cops come on. It don't matter whose TV day it is. Whites, blacks, Mexicans, we watching Cops.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
What does Dog the Bounty Hunter have to do that doesn't sound like a cliche at this point to get back in the good graces of the TV viewing public, in your view?
You've seen South Park. He's got to kiss Jesse Jackson's ass.
He does, yeah. Kiss it. Yeah, you guys remember that one?
Literally.
Remember that when Stan's dad was on Wheel of Fortune and the clues were N blank G G E R?
The category is people who annoy you. Audience, keep quiet, please.
Well,
10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
Well, I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Huh?
Oh, naggers, of course. Naggers. Right.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. It's almost like Trey and Matt have a crystal ball, man. You
know, they do.
One coming, man.
They really
you know,
do.
I mean, honestly, I can't get mad at Dog because if that's really how you feel, you know what I mean? I would rather you be like that, and at least I know where I stand with you, as opposed to you being fake and fraudulent in front of me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, one thing about people in California, man, is that, you know, this is one of those states where, like, white folks still cross the street. You know what I mean? Y'all have the decency to still get out of a brother's way when he coming down the street, man. But you go down south.
Hell are you talking about? What is Adele talking about, Bean?
I'm telling you, you go into my neighborhood, man, and you see a white person in my neighborhood, and they see you, it's amazing, man. The ladies clutch their purses, man. They grab the kids' hands like I'm going to snatch the purse and the kid and go heading for the hills or something. But there are certain parts of the country where, man, they still, you know, I'm telling you, man, they push you out the way, and, you know, they don't want you in certain restaurants, and, you know, you can't do certain things. And, you know, that's just America, man. But, yeah, Dog, he's through.
There's really nothing he can do.
You know what's really weird about that too is that he's a bounty hunter. He looks for criminals who jump bail.
Right.
I mean, really, what are our standards for our bounty hunters?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly, man. I mean, you know,
come on.
You know,
what you're saying, Kevin, is we're not voting for the guy,
no.
So how much should we care what he feels?
Well, we should care, but for God's sakes, we shouldn't be shocked beyond belief. He's probably got...
Put him on and they let our children watch him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They let our family watch him. And I'll be honest with you, man. I like that show. You know, I sit down once in a while. There's nothing else, man. You know, hey, I roll one up and I watch Dog take down some criminals. You know what I'm
sure.
saying? Kicking the door.
All right, let me ask you this then, Anil. Does that change now? Now that you know where he's coming from, do you now not like his show?
I'm just going to know I'm watching a racist bastard on television as opposed to watching, a, you know, a good guy. I mean, you know, let's be real. I didn't stop watching Seinfeld because Michael Richards is a racist ass. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you got to look at the realistic situation.
Well, you stopped watching Seinfeld because you were black and realized you didn't have to.
Exactly.
White people had to. We were required to watch Seinfeld, but you had it out.
Part of our citizenship.
I think that's in the charter or something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, I mean, you know, Dog, hey, brother, you know, you screwed up. But I tell you what, kudos to you, man. You know, you stood your ground. You didn't want your white son dating a black woman. And, you know, hey, if that's how you feel as a parent, you know, I got to respect your opinion.
I got to tell you, it's unbelievable that anybody really has that opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't, I'm not going to force force you to like us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't like black people, don't like black people. I mean, you know, that's all I would want
if I were dog is I'd want my son bringing home hot black ass. I mean, that would be my goal. Would be please go out and find a sister.
Hot black ass.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Dog, I mean, he's probably all right, man. There aren't that many black folks in Hawaii. And to be honest with you, Pacific Islanders are higher on the food chain than black men. I mean, they're the only people more dangerous and, you know what I'm saying, that can hurt us. You know what I mean? Like, we actually leave the Samoans alone, man. You know what I'm saying? We wouldn't be like, all right, brother, you got it.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, Anel, we always appreciate hearing the perspective from the hood, man. So thanks for coming on the Kevin to meet you. Have a great weekend, all right?
Hey, not a problem, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you, man.
Bye. See you.
Listen, Token, my dad isn't a racist. He's just stupid, all right? He just blurted out the N-word, and it's no big deal, okay?
Well, actually, it is kind of a big deal, Stan. It may be a mistake, but you don't understand how it feels when that word comes up. So don't say it isn't a big deal.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit is going down. Token, my dad wasn't trying to be offensive. Just forget about it.
That's easy for you to say, Stan.
Yeah, come on. Here we go. Yeah, but he didn't say it in anger or anything like that.
That doesn't mean I can just be fine.
Race war. Come on. Race war.
If you really think it's not a big deal, then you really are ignorant. That's all. I'm not fighting anybody.
Token forfeits! Whites win! Whites win! Race war's over, everybody! Whites won again!
Guys, wasn't that the B-C? Boys, thank you. It's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Well, now Dwayne the Dog Chapman knows who to blame.
What do you mean?
News just broke today that it was, in fact, Dwayne's son, Tucker, who sold the tape of Dog the Bounty Hunter using that racial slur repeatedly on the phone.
We knew it had to be him. His own son.
Wow.
His own son, Tucker Chapman, sold it to the National Enquirer for what Dog's lawyers are saying was a lot of money.
Really?
Can you believe it?
His own father. Now, was the son, refresh my memory, I haven't seen much Dog, was the son in the family business? Was he working for his dad as a bounty hunter?
I've only seen a handful of dogs, and I don't know which one Tucker is. He's got like 19 kids
running around. He does have a lot of kids.
Working with him, so I'm not sure which one Tucker is.
Because why try to bring your family business down? I mean, is that how pissed off you are because he didn't like your girlfriend?
I reckon so. So now we know who the culprit was. We all suspected it was the son, because who else would have access to the tape? Who would have made the tape, and then who would have been able to sell it? So it was, in fact, Tucker Chapman who sold that tape of his dad using the N-word. Sweet! Good guy. Nice man. Britney Spears is getting her body back in shape again. She's committed, say friends, via surgery.
Surgery?
Yeah. Her collagen injections in her lips.
Right.
That's just the beginning.
She's only 25, and she's probably only about 25 pounds overweight. Why surgery?
Not going to stop her from doing some liposuction and a few other procedures, claim friends.
Loosen her clothes a bit. That's all she needs at this point.
Put on the medium panties instead of the small, and your problem's over pretty much. Yeah, that's kind of a shame. She's going to start hacking away at herself.
It really is.
Couldn't she just have a surgeon take out her runs to Taco Bell's drive-thru? Maybe that would help her lose a couple pounds. No.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. Put on your crystal balls or look.
What?
Look into the crystal ball.
Put on your crystal balls?
Put on your future hat or whatever they call it. Right. 5 years from now, will Britney Spears be an ongoing pop musical concern?
Dead.
Will she be dead? Will she be out of the business? What do you think is going to be going on with her?
Porn.
Dead. Porn.
You really think she'll be dead within 5 years?
Yes.
If not, porn. One or the other.
Okay.
Death porn. Corpse porn.
I think she'll still be trying to make records and just be irrelevant. No one will care anymore.
I don't know. I mean, this record's doing well, right?
Well,
it's just surprising.
She's white hot, though, because she's got the little kids and the divorce and the custody battle and all that, but we're going to soon forget about that.
Next time she has a CD, she's going to have to get another couple of kids in another court battle and do the same thing, same kind of press.
Good news for those of us who like to yell like Tarzan.
Because a lot of us do.
Oh, sure. Right. The European Union has just announced that the Tarzan yell can't be trademarked.
Okay.
Okay, so anyone can do it in a movie or TV show and not have to pay.
Yes. More importantly, anyone can do it on a ringtone or a computer game.
Oh, yes.
See, that's where Edgar Rice Burroughs, the creator of Tarzan, his family wanted to register the trademark to try to make money for the estate.
I guess that makes
sense. So if you had a ringtone that goes,
then he would get a nickel or something.
How many people have that as a ringtone?
Just saying. If you want it, it's there it's for available. Your taking. All yes. Right. So creeping fascism has once again been stamped out in Europe. God bless them. Safe for Tarzan yellers everywhere.
Psycho Mike, how did Tarzan yell again? How did that sound when he used to yell like that?
Oh, I don't know what we're yelling about!
What? What are you shaking your head at? Well, mine wasn't good enough?
I don't understand that whole exchange there.
That was being
and no, yours wasn't that good.
Clip.
Yeah, I know.
How dare you?
Joss Whedon's coming back to TV. You remember our buddy Joss who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yep.
He is working on a new TV project, and this is sounds fascinating to me. It's called Dollhouse.
Dollhouse.
And it's about a group of men and women who are secret agents, basically. But their memory is imprinted with different personalities for each assignment that they face. Once their job is finished, their memory is wiped clean.
Ooh.
Kind of like my life.
Exactly, Kevin. Excellent. That's why I thought you would appreciate it.
I like that.
They're blank slates, and then when they're assigned to a job, they give them the personality that they need to do that job. So in each and every episode, the main characters will be different personalities.
Wow.
Interesting. It's an actor's dream, first of all, to be on that show. And it sounds like a really nifty sort of Mission Impossible type scenario.
That sounds
pretty
cool.
Once again, Joss, good on you.
Hey, his Firefly was a great little show, too.
Another good show, yeah. He does good work. And Hayden Panettiere is better than you.
Oh, no question about that.
She, while you sit around with your thumb up your butt eating Cheetos, she's out there putting her ass on the line to save dolphins. She went out with some other brave souls and took to the waters off Japan on surfboards in an attempt to protect dolphins from a cove where fishermen killed them in droves.
Aww.
They don't kill dolphins in most countries around the world, do they, Ralph?
No, they do not. In fact, dolphins are protected in most countries. The local fishermen there did not appreciate their efforts and tried to scare the activists off with boat propellers and a hook. Hayden says that while she was there, she saw a baby dolphin that was orphaned. And it's difficult to think about what happened to that baby now that it's no longer with us.
Kevin's got to be furious.
Because he hates the environment?
Yeah, he hates the environment. About?
Yeah, you hate the environment.
You guys are high.
And how are those light bulbs working out for you at home, Kevin?
If they put out any light, they'd be good.
They last 13 times longer than a regular light bulb.
They last a million times longer. There's no light coming out of them.
Kevin has replaced them with Klieg lights. I don't know if you're familiar with those. Those giant lights they put outside Hollywood premieres as they go into the sky. That's what Kevin's got in his house now for light. You have to wear sunglasses at night inside Kevin's house.
How much light do you actually need? Are you performing microsurgery at home? I mean, just turn on a light.
Dude, I'm telling you, you don't have those lights.
I have those lights all over my house.
Please.
They're fantastic.
They're great.
They blow. I have them. I use them because of the environment, but they blow.
They're terrible.
You can't sit there and say they're awesome. They blow.
Well, you need to buy bigger wattage ones then. You'll still save money.
Right.
Just up that's all you wattage. Need. You need to up the wattage on the bulbs. That's the problem. You just bought too low a wattage. That's
Are they
all.
Still talking?
And tonight, if you happen to be home, you might want to pop over to KDOC Channel 56 at 8 o'clock. They are doing a tribute to the late, great Wally George.
Crazy TV right there.
One of the best broadcasters in this or any generation. It's the 25th anniversary of his show, The Hot Seat. So they're going to be there will be a mini marathon tonight on KDOC from 8 to midnight. If you've never seen Wally, who was the precursor to Jerry Springer and Morton Downey Jr. and all those sort of just insane shows where everyone goes nuts, this was the granddaddy of them all.
A chair fight will break out, guaranteed, on one of those episodes.
And he will have a girl with big boobs on and tell her, cover up those breasts! At the same time, not really wanting her to do it. The whole thing was just grand theater on an amazing scale.
So. Bad toupee, giant American flag. It's
not a toupee, my friend.
Really?
That was his actual
that real hair?
No way that was
he
his real...
combed over from the back to the front.
Wow.
That was the world's greatest comb over.
That makes me love him even more.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
And he sat wedged between pictures of Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon.
That's right.
It was awesome.
An American flag behind him.
He's just nutty.
He was the best. Before I sign off for the week and wish you all a happy weekend, I'd like to give away my final pairs of tickets to go see Beowulf, the red carpet world premiere of Beowulf will be happening in Westwood at the Man Village Theater on November the 5th. You get to see all the celebrities and you get to see the movie early. If you'd like to attend this film, call right now. First five callers at 1-800-520-1067 get a pair of tickets to attend the red carpet world premiere of Beowulf.
No, how do you do that?
No.
Why did you do that? You said that was it. You said have a good weekend.
I'm done. I'm done for the show.
Another hour, dude. Another hour.
I'm done. You guys. You guys who make the big bucks, you got to stick around for another hour and do
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. All the details of what's going on in Hollywood coming up.
Well, that's good. I'm glad someone's bringing us all the details of what's going on in Hollywood. I'm glad that role has been filled.
We need a reliable. We need a reliable voice.
I'm glad to hear that. Right. Excellent idea. Finally, we got somebody on here who does news about show business. Excellent idea.
Does it right, though, wouldn't he?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Katie Lang, legendary lesbian, is 46 years old today. Carl Beauford from the Dave Matthews Band turns 50. David Schwimmer from Friends is 41 years old today. Fieldy from Korn turns 38. And Nelly, rapper Nelly, turns 33. Do we have any Nelly standing
It's up? Getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Yeah.
Nelly's not too good anymore.
Yeah, he's lost it.
Oh, Bean, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train, Soul Train. Da 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 da.
Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kev?
No way. No way.
How's it going?
Good. So, what do you want me to call you for, guys?
Well, first of all, we just want to catch up and make sure you're okay and find out what you've been up to. We haven't talked to you in so long.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm trying to get a job at In-N-Out. They never call me.
Well, they probably have a lot of people applying for to work there because it's a good place, Dewan. You just got to hang in there, all right, buddy?
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. You're still working at the theater. You're still at the theater, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And how do you like that? Have you seen any great movies lately?
Yep, I saw Saw 4.
Oh.
Yes.
Saw 4.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought that a main character died.
He did. He did. These are flashbacks. He did die at the end of last season.
I thought he died.
Last movie. No, he did die.
But they have his son was workers.
Okay, but what Kevin is saying is that, yeah, the Jigsaw did die in Saw 3, but in Saw 4 they use flashbacks. They tell stories that happened before the present time that Saw 4 is set in. You understand?
Yeah, I think that's the last part.
Well, no, they're making a Saw 5 already.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. It messes with your head, doesn't it?
Well, Dewan, one of the things we wanted to ask you about, and I'm so glad you called, is we know that you're a big fan of Dog the Bounty Hunter. Do we have that right?
Yes, and Drew Barrymore.
Right.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. Don't forget her.
Now, if Drew Barrymore would commit some sort of heinous crime and go on the run, how cool would it be for Dog the Bounty Hunter to then be hired to go after her?
Cool. You saw The Bionic Woman?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite shows.
Oh, you like that too. Okay.
Yep.
Good show.
So, what do you
have the actress Michelle Ryan been on your show?
She has.
Yeah,
we have spoken with her. Yes.
Oh, I forgot to call in and say hello to her.
Yeah, sorry about that,
dude. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, Dewan, what do you think about the trouble that Dog the Bounty Hunter is in now?
He was in trouble like in the past, like a year. He got arrested.
Right.
Right. That was in Mexico, but this is a different thing.
His show has been suspended by A&E. He was caught on audio tape using the N-word. And now people are very upset with him about that because of the insensitivity of that word to African-Americans.
Oh, man. When was that?
This was just this week. It just happened this week.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
He needs to stop doing that.
He does need to stop doing that.
That's good advice.
That's true.
So what do you think he ought to do to dig himself out of this hole? I mean, he seems like he's got a public relations nightmare right now, Dewan.
He needs to be happy again with a lot of people.
That's it. That's it right there. Need
there
to be
go.
Happy again with
that's,
a lot of
that's
people.
That's the answer we were looking for.
That's
right. Exactly what we wanted. Okay. So
my birthday's coming up on Tuesday.
Your birthday's Tuesday.
Really?
Oh, happy birthday, Dewan. How old are you going to be?
25.
Fantastic.
Good on you.
It's a fantastic. Big birthday. You going to do anything?
This is my 7 year calling you guys on the Kevin and Bean show.
You've been calling us for 7 years?
Since April of 2000.
You remember the month?
Yep.
All
that's
right.
The first time when you guys told me to turn our radio down. But I did it. I don't know about that.
That's fantastic, Dewan. Well, it's been a wonderful 7 years. I just wish we got to talk to you more often.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Now, do you have big birthday plans?
yeah, I think my mom's going to take me out or my friend's going to plan me a party.
A party, okay.
Okay, well, there's nothing better than your mom taking you out on your 25th, man. That's what every young boy dreams of.
That's true.
That is true.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for our good friend DeJuan calling in with some excellent advice for Dog the Bounty Hunter and just a general check-in. DeJuan, we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Later.
Later.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Kevin, your Los Angeles Kings have what? Won 4 out of the last 5 games or something like that? Very hot. Taking on the San Jose Sharks at home, Staples Center tomorrow night, and K-Rock is having a big party. In fact, a tailgate party with our own Stryker.
Stryker has a tail!
Stryker has a tail!
Should I tell you how slow Mike was moving there? He's like,
it's like someone hit him with a trank dart. He's barely conscious.
What is your problem? Can be surprised at this point that we need the Stryker as a tail jiggle, right? No one.
Stryker has a tail!
All right.
Mike, anyway, it's vacation. Yeah. Tailgate party.
Stryker has a tail!
Luke Robitaille is stopping by. Drinks and prizes.
Luke Robitaille, Canadian!
If you don't win tickets right now, you can go to lakings.com/krock or call 888-KINGS-LA, 1-800-520-1067. Who do you want to start with?
Is it sexual harassment if I offer our intern a week's worth of my salary to see her boobs?
No, I think that's acceptable.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Read the policy.
No, that's all good.
Handed out, 'cause I just did
they
that.
Just did the new online training and said that's fine.
That's okay?
Yeah, they let us
as long
know
as
that.
The money changes hands, it's not harassment.
That's correct.
Right?
Okay, good.
This new intern, Sarah, by the way, is just, I don't know who's hiring him, but I suspect it's you, Kevin. Good job.
First of all, her name's Cleopatra.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it?
Right?
Is that,
yes.
Okay, all right, sorry.
She's Egyptian.
Let's say good morning to Tamara in Panorama. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, Panorama.
Hey, guys, can't say vowels?
Pardon me?
Sorry, go ahead.
I want to know what's up with this writer's strike.
What's up with the writers?
They make more money than probably all of us combined.
Oh, will you relax?
And they're crying because they want more.
Well, okay, what aspect of the business do you work in, Tamara?
None.
Oh, okay. So you're just a fan who is taking sides in this argument.
Who doesn't want her TV taken away from
They're
her?
They're pretty talented people, and they work from project to project, so they could be out of work for 6 months at a time.
Yeah, but they make so much money from each project. If they budgeted it or whatever, they know it's fast. It's feast or famine.
Listen, compared to actors, they get paid much, much less in terms of each project.
And compared to normal people, they get paid much, much more.
They're more talented than
normal people. They're not comparing it to you. They're talking about how much money they're making on films and TV shows.
They're still making more than us.
Well, yes, but they're more talented than you. You don't contribute to television and films.
Apples
and oranges.
On the DVDs, they're making 4 cents. They now want to make 8 cents.
That's outrageous.
Does any of your salary double like that?
No, of course
not.
But that's a different industry.
Tamara, let's say you went out and bought Spider-Man 3 this week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no Spider-Man 3 movie to put on DVD unless somebody sits down and writes it. Why is 8 cents per movie an outrageous amount of money?
Because it's not just me buying Spider-Man. It's you and you and your nephew and everyone else buying Spider-Man.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it adds up. But nobody else that I know in the quote-unquote normal population gets a 50% raise.
Right, but
a lot of people you know aren't solely responsible for the creation of a product.
See, here's the problem, Tamara, is that there's a lot of money out there, and someone is getting it. So if the writers feel like they're being stiffed, I can understand how they would want to say, hey, how about cutting us in? I could understand that.
Yeah,
Tamara, you don't want them to strike either, but...
I have a hard time with them getting a 50% increase.
Right, I know, we got that.
Yeah, we got that part.
Let me ask you this. Are there other professions that tick you off or just writers for television movies? I mean, are you upset when you see Alex Rodriguez go out there and play baseball and make $20 million a year? Does that bug you?
No.
Why not? He has a certain set of skills that are worth that in the marketplace. Why does that not bug you? But a writer who can do something that the rest of us can't do, why shouldn't he get paid well, too?
He's not getting a 50% raise. That's what bothers me the most.
Sometimes
athletes get tremendously more than 50% a lot of times.
But athletes can get hurt and that's the end of their career.
Okay. Shut up.
I don't know where else to go with this.
Why isn't Kevin the decider? Why are we wasting our time calling Kevin Smith?
I really don't have anywhere else to go with that.
No, she's just
unreasonable.
Yeah, she's just, I don't know what to
look,
do.
Look, I know
Tamra.
When you talk about large salaries, sometimes it's easy to get bitter because the average person is making, you know, 50 grand a year or whatever across America.
Of course.
It seems like an insane amount of money, but you have to recognize you're dealing in a different realm because of the amount of money that a Spider-Man 3 makes for Sony or you know, you're talking about a different level of finances. And it's a bitch that we don't make that kind of cash, but still, it doesn't mean that they're not deserving of whatever they get.
I remember the big backlash when the Friends were going on strike or threatening to because they were only making $1 million a week or something like that, and people just ripped into them. But then you look at what a show like that makes, it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Yes.
And they're they're making crazy money, but it's a small percentage of the total pie, even with a big increase.
Right.
So they're having pie?
Oh,
I know. Sam in North Hollywood, good morning.
Well, what it do, nephew?
What
are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Beautiful work.
Sweet.
Let's talk to Brad in Las Vegas. Well, listening to us in Las Vegas, I guess, on KROQ.com. Line 5. Hey, Brad, good morning. What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
Hey, Brad.
Hey, I was watching the news this morning, and our favorite douchebag, Chris Angel, came on the news and said he blamed his outburst the other night on TV because he had suppressed feelings about his dead father.
No, he did not!
He absolutely did.
No, he did not.
Yeah, 100% absolutely
he
did.
He was on that show Phenomena. He's one of the judges on there, and he was yelling at a guy for not being able to tell what
was... being a real psychic.
Yeah, like he is, by the way.
Well, the guy said he could talk to dead people, so apparently that had something to do with it.
All right, on what TV show did Chris Angel claim that?
The Phenomenon.
Oh, he said it on Phenomenon?
No, he said it on the NBC News out here.
NBC News. Was it local news?
Yeah, NBC Local Morning News.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Of course.
That's great. Miguel is in Compton on line one, Kevin and Bean Show, Friday morning. Miguel, what it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I saw like 20 minutes ago, I saw like the greatest thing ever.
Okay.
I saw an older lady taking a shower in her backyard.
An older lady taking a shower in her backyard.
Yeah,
now, I don't know how old Miguel is, but an older lady could mean 22 or it could mean 82. Let's hear some more about this.
Her late 40s, early 50s.
Nice. And I'm guessing she's not the kind of girl that you would like to see shower in the backyard.
Oh, not really.
Yeah. therein lies the comedy.
And yet Miguel watched.
Hey, any port in a storm, you know?
I'm a meter eater, so I get to see these things often.
I got you.
Nice.
All right. Thank you for the call, Miguel.
That's great. Right. I think you're getting paid too much, to tell you the truth, for reading that meter, as far as I'm concerned. Why do you need to get paid so much for doing a job that any normal person could do?
Like 4 cents a meter? I want 8 cents a meter.
Let's go to Jeff and Laverne. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Jeff?
Hey, this is for Ralph.
Yes, sir.
We got that little bet going on, remember?
What's the bet?
The bet is the Saints got a better record than the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is you.
This is me.
How you doing? Here we are halfway through the season, and we're tied. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, well, you think it would be a little better than what it is now.
Yeah, so. I think we both had better expectations for our teams than what the records are, 3-4.
Yeah, but we're on a 3-game winning streak, so and you've got, Dallas this weekend, Redskins next weekend.
We do have a rough schedule coming up. And then we get Miami, so that's a gimme.
Yeah, that's
just
a bye week.
So I think we got a gimme, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. For those of you who don't remember, at the beginning of the season, we made a bet regarding the best record, the Eagles and the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
If the Eagles beat the Saints, he gets a tattoo. What was the tattoo again? What did we say it was?
Kevin and Bean, and then I'll put you on it, too.
Kevin and Bean show on your body somewhere. If you win, you get to come in and sit in and watch us do the morning show for a morning, right?
Right. Correct.
That's the most uneven bet ever.
That was his terms, not mine.
But you hardly can't equitable. Lose, Ralph.
Hardly equitable, but I accept it.
That's a terrible bet, Jeff.
It's on.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's on.
All right, you can hit me in the nuts, or I'm just going to say that you're bad.
It's on.
Those are the two.
It's on.
What the hell?
It's on, Jeff.
No one will blame you if you don't show up at the end of the season if you lose, all right?
No kidding.
I will.
Thanks for the call.
You down and tattoo your ass.
Let's go to Juan in Los Angeles. Good morning, Juan.
Is there any wager? Hold on, Juan. Is there any wager between Mike and Ralph with Cowboys Eagles this weekend?
We haven't talked about it, but the thing is with Mike, if you make a bet and he loses, it doesn't matter because he doesn't pay up.
He won't pay.
Okay. He's a welcher. I forgot. I'm sorry. Juan, go ahead. You're on the air. What a do, nephew?
Hey, guys. What's up? You know, in honor of the Clipper season opening tonight, can we hear that awesome song by the King of Mexico again? That was rad.
King.
I don't know if we have that kind of time.
King's our screener, and he puts himself on hold so he can talk to us about the Clippers.
Dave, we recognize your voice. We know it's you.
No, it's not me. It's Juan.
Juan, what's your last name?
Sanchez.
Sanchez. His own last name is Sanchez.
Sanchez.
So, yeah, well, let's hear it again because it's the Clipper life, baby. What's up?
Are you calling from Panorama?
The Alhambra.
Alhambra.
Like I always do at this time, I came to rhyme. The clips are gonna shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. I came to rhyme. The clips are gonna shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. We're gonna miss you, baby, but we're gonna hold it down. Yeah.
What's he saying?
This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. My championship rings, the clip alive. This team is blue collar, don't make them big dollars, still make the fans holler. The clip alive. We'll still beat LA, we'll still beat Portland, we'll still beat Seattle, but the playoffs are all that matter. Yeah. Now throw your hands up in the sky. So we're not that good, but we'll play with heart like you know they could. Proudly. And when we get brand, they'll turn around. We'll be playoff bound. Party. Don't leave, he said. Go ahead and switch the team up. And if they hate, then let them hate and watch the wins pile up. The clip of life, that's the way I live. And you know I'm gonna drive Kevin crazy.
That's
and
awesome.
I can't wait to watch the games of Kristen Bell, my baby.
Wow.
And if you're feeling me now, put your hands up in the sky and let me hear you say, hey, 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 we're good.
There it is.
Can we, right, can we get a radio edit of that song?
You know, here's the thing about that. If
that
you,
was, if, by the way.
That was the radio edit?
That was. That's like a minute shorter than the other one.
If you don't have to worry about rhyming or carrying a tune, songs are pretty easy to do.
Sure. It's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That was an awesome song.
It was very well done. And Juan Sanchez, thank you so much for calling up and requesting that. I want to thank all of our special guests on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Harvey the Hammer Levin for joining us today from TMZ.com, entertainment source of record, and of course TMZ TV every weeknight at 6:30 on Channel 11. Thanks to Rich Eisen for joining us from the NFL Network today. His book is in stores now, and it's a fascinating read. If you love football, you'll love this book, Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Thanks to actor Jesse Spencer calling us from the moon today. His TV show is House, Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. And Ralph, thanks to your buddy Zach Gray for stopping by too. The dog trainer to the stars, Urban Tales on Beverly Boulevard, or urbantales.net is the website.
Hey, Lightning.
Where did we go? Do whatever it is you're selling.
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, guys, if you're into nitro burning funny cars or top fuelers, this weekend you're in heaven. So it's the Auto Club NHRA Finals this weekend out at Pomona Raceway. Some tickets are still available.
Hey,
to the
I
Master,
hope tickets
or,
are still available.
Yes, they are. Thank you for asking. Ticketmaster or at the door. So I'll be out there Sunday, but it starts today. Goes through Sunday.
Are these the Winter Nationals?
These are the finals. I think these are the Winter Nationals. Yeah.
How about fewer follow-up questions and more playing Don Bogart this joint? How about that?
Monday morning, live music from Angels and Airwaves. Ralph's Video Vault comes back. And the yoked out mice will be here.
Nitro burning funny car. Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is delicious.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Hey, Tom DeLong from Angels and Airwaves. What is going to be coming up next on the Cat Show?
A new song from a band called Spoon and Offspring, Incubus, Foo Fighters, and more.
Roll another one.
The best tonic is Chronic.
Just like the other one.
Munchies.
Who wants some munchies? To be about. I don't have another cent.
I shall continue to oppose efforts to legalize marijuana.
I don't want to guard that joint.
Smoke weed.
Just pass it around.
Marijuana's bad.
I don't want to guard that
is just nature's way of saying hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Chick Hearn with Kevin and Bean. You've got it right here on K-Rock. And don't forget, it's in the refrigerator, baby. The door is closed, the lights out, the eggs are cooled, and the butter's getting hard, and the jello is jiggling. Stay tuned for the best in radio on K-Rock.
This brutal ordeal is now officially over, and I will never speak of it again.
Well, I will see you Monday.
I gotta go.
So this has been very amusing. I wish you all the best in your life, and now I'm done.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Well, I will see you Monday.
This is such a Monday guy!